entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
That's a phone number for the hottest of all lines. Call it. We'll talk to you and be friends. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Wow, it sounds all dry and crazy all of a sudden. As I said, you can be a part of this thing if you want. It's Best in Show. It's a talk radio program. We're going to be talking, chatting, all that sort of stuff. I don't know if there's a difference between those two things, but I'm going to be doing it the entire time. My name's Chris. That's about it. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'll see you next time. Oh, wait, you know who else is going to be on that show? He's my buddy, my partner, my friend, my everything. It's our producer, Brian. Hi, buddy.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's great to see you again. I love having you in my house and this happening. And
what do you mean?
I don't have a migraine headache that's making my head explode, and I'm not panicking, and I think I just peed myself, actually.
Congratulations. I hope it all works out to you. But more importantly, look who's really here. It's Keith. What's up, buddy?
See, now you threw me for a loop. I had a great line. It was gonna revolutionize the new decade. And
you want to try it? Okay. Hey, he's my partner. He's my friend. He's my everything. He's the best thing that ever happened in my life. It's Keith.
2010, baby. Oh, yeah.
Wait, why didn't that work before?
Because it had to be connected to the beginning.
Oh, okay.
It's like a new decade thing, you know. Yeah, I'm kind of ahead of you in that whole thing.
Yeah, I'm still on some 1990 stuff, so I really wouldn't understand it. Hey, look who's standing next to you. He's sitting next to you. It's our buddy Fred.
What's up, guys? Happy New Year.
Chilling, hanging out, having a party, hanging, banging, chilling, whatnot, all that good stuff. What's up with you?
I'm pissed.
What do you mean?
As usual, per usual. Lately.
Wait, what's wrong? Are you mad that you can't use full words? Is that what the problem is? Per use?
I just, today.
What do you mean per usage? Like just one use?
No, per usual.
Okay, what's up?
Today at work, I got a text message, and I rarely get those picture text messages. I don't know what they're called, graphic text messages when someone sends you.
Multimedia messaging.
Yeah, whatever it is.
MMSs. I don't know what, MMSs?
Multimedia. I don't know about diseases at all.
Yeah, it's called like, yeah, it's MMS. I don't know. It's multimedia.
And if you see my phone, I have a phone from about probably 1999, so I'm surprised it even gets a MMS or whatever it is. So I get a picture, and it's a girl that I really don't talk to all that much, and she texts me a picture of a paper, and she goes, "Oh, you're on the paper today. On the front page of the paper, are you still in this band?"
Whoa. You were on the front page of the paper?
Well, she sent me like a little pic, and I guess it was a picture of the paper. You really couldn't see what the paper was. So I said, oh, no, I'm not in any band, so I don't know what you're talking about. And that was like, it was very cryptic.
I'm going to play dumb. That's some other guy named Fred. I don't know who this is. Goodbye.
Because I couldn't see the picture.
Who was the message from? Someone near and dear to you, like a family member or a
more
close friend?
Acquaintance. Just acquaintance. And, you know, not, you know, hang out maybe once a couple of months. I'll see this person. So then I go home, and I start looking around, start looking at the papers, and I get to the Staten Island Advance. And now we live on Staten Island. You know, it's a populated 500,000 people, you know. And I'm sure...
Damn straight.
Geography facts.
Represent, yeah. Son.
I'm sure about 100...
About 36 square miles. Yeah. Really, you can really just enjoy yourself there.
Oh, I got a line for that. Staten Island, 2010. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure about 100,000 people read that paper. Maybe more. And I open it up, and guess who's on the front cover of the Entertainment Weekly section of the Staten Island?
AWE or Entertainment Weekly?
Well, AWE, I guess, whatever it is.
Was it the Dog and Pony Show, my fifth favorite podcast from Staten Island?
No.
Oh, was it Ron Hill, our buddy Ron Hill and Tryptophan?
No.
Let's think.
It's so obvious. I know what it was.
What is it?
It was our buddy Paul Bruno's podcast, The Unblinking Ear.
Ah, so good. So good. If you want to listen to some really good music, enjoy it.
It wasn't him.
Oh, really? What else could be? What was the article about?
Didn't read the article.
I was convinced that you were just going to say it was about a song, like, because that's what it sounded like to me.
Vincent D'Onofrio stars in Staten Island. I didn't even know you were in that, Fred.
About to have an aneurysm. I know. I didn't read the article. Because guess what? On the front cover of the awe section of the Staten Island Advance is me.
What do you mean? Just
it's
you?
It's a picture of me.
Just you?
No. Me in a band that I used to be in.
A band that you used to be in like 2.5 weeks ago playing a reunion show? Is
no.
that what you're talking about?
No. A jug band that I used to be in called the Wahoo Skillful Crazy. So
wow.
I used to be in this jug band.
You made
it. Maybe about a year and a half ago. Maybe a year ago. And I guess
it was well longer than that, my friend. It was like 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years? All right, 2 years ago. My memory's foggy.
No.
And
I think so.
Really?
I'll say yeah.
No. And we got photos taken. We were in a band, you know, and as I was in the band, you do press photos. You're thinking, all right, I'm out of the band. I'm never going to be seen again.
So wait, so what? This was like a band's remember when back in the 80s type thing?
No,
this
no,
old
no.
band with this
is
guy?
Like, no, this is like we're playing a show this weekend.
They're still a band.
I know, but why would they have pictures? Why would they be using press photos of the now defunct band? Because that would mean you, our buddy Bourgeoisie, was probably in the picture as well. Your wife
Wait a second,
was
they're
in the
now
picture.
A funk band?
Well, yes.
I think it has to probably do with the lackadaisical reporting on the Staten Island Advance, wouldn't you say?
I'm going to say I'm an unbelievable fan of the Staten Island Advance, despite what Ustreamer 2926 is saying. It doesn't have a circulation of 200. It's maybe the finest paper that I've ever been in. It's the finest paper I've ever been in. I'll say that. But no, wait, you know what? My high school paper was pretty good. It was the second best paper I was ever in.
I once was a teenager, and I had a picture taken of a group of kids in the Staten Island Advance, and they asked me what my name was. Guess whose name I said? Chris Schiavo.
Really?
Swear to God.
Really?
They printed it. Swear to God. So now
– So is
I
this,
would love to see that.
Are you going
to
give us a little lesson on karma now? Is that what this is all about?
Well, I mean, come on. You're –
I want you to know I never knew that. That is unbelievable to me that really happened.
You're a paper. You're putting this band in front of your whole magazine, and you're not looking into who's still in the band, who's not. Then they have pictures in the magazine with, I guess, the real band, the band that
wait,
exists.
Okay, hold on. You think that they went to their, like, photo catalog and found their pictures of the Wahoo Skiffle Crazies?
Yes.
You don't think that the band said, oh, here's a good picture of us and used it?
No.
You really think the band would submit a picture of, like, old personnel? Wouldn't they, like, probably take a new picture?
I find it mind-boggling to think that the Staten Island Advance has a file someplace that has Wahoo. Oh, let's go to the Wahoo Skiffle Crazies file for all their photos.
I think the Staten Island, anything related to Staten Island is incompetent, and I think they probably have something along the lines of, like, my documents being their big photo, being their big professional photo.
Wait,
catalog.
You have it?
Oh, of course I have it.
Awesome.
So not only... Am I on the cover? It's the worst picture of me in the world because the picture.
You sure about that?
The picture is of the band sitting on a rock, a brick wall, and the brick wall was very wet and dirty, and I really didn't want to sit on the brick wall, so I was scrunching up. So in this picture, I look like I suffer from like dwarfism. Look at me on the right hand side. It looks like I'm 2 feet smaller than everybody else.
It is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Wow, this is a really unattractive thing.
You don't happen to have like a link of where anyone can see that now, right? So they don't just hear us laughing.
You go to the
we'll hold this up to the camera. If you can get it to the camera somehow to try and make it look like something.
What about
the
podcast?
They're screwed. That's what happens when you don't listen live.
I mean,
let's see, Brian. Is it even remotely looking like anything that people could see it on the screen yet, or no?
Well, there's two cams. You're holding it to the lesser of the two, so you'll have to come over. Why don't you give it to me?
Okay. So, so this thing is now haunting me.
Every time Fred tries to shield his identity, it just gets exposed more and more.
The last time I was talking about this, you know, I was at the wedding, and you know, people put pictures of me up on Facebook. Now,
from the Wahoo Skiffle wedding, I remember that.
No,
it was yesterday.
No, it wasn't that wedding. But now I'm putting
the Wahoo family married the Skiffle family. Oh, it was so beautiful.
Now
to end the feud, right?
Well, obviously.
Now I'm going to be seen by so many people. Who cares if it's 200 or 200,000? I just don't want to be seen. Now here's the kicker.
It's a good looking picture.
The kid that is my buddy, my special ed buddy.
Your bro?
My bro.
Okay.
By
the way, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, you're going to have to go to the Best in Show Radio archives. Go to bestinshowradio.com, click on recorded, and check out our last show, episode 213. You'll hear all about Fred's buddy.
Even though you're screwed for not listening live.
Obviously.
So my bro has come in about 5 or 6 times and have cut people's faces out of the Staten Island Advance, teachers that aren't even his teachers, and has brought them in. And like questioned them about it, gave the picture to other teachers, and the other teachers like pull pranks and start like photocopying the faces onto the teachers' doors and stuff.
For the record, I just have to say, I know this isn't the point you're getting at, but I'm more and more impressed with your bro every week between the brilliant book he's writing and the fact that this is what he's doing. Like, I'm very impressed with the kid.
Bri, start calling number one. So now I'm scared to even go to school tomorrow. Like, I know because it's the front cover. He's definitely going to come in with my picture and do something and question me about it.
Does anyone in the school know? Now your wife is also – can I ask that? Can
yes.
we say that? Your
yeah,
wife
totally.
Is also – all right. Okay.
She's in the picture too.
So, like, does anyone know that either of you at this profession ever played in a band or anything like that?
No.
So not only are you going to be exposed, she's going to be exposed as well.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the worst.
I found the link. I'm going to be posting the link in the chat rooms.
Please don't. Oh, my God.
Man, people want to see it.
Please. Paulie Esquire. This is Fred.
Yes, that's me.
Hey, man, it's Fred. How are you?
Good, Fred. How's it going, man?
Very long good. Time. Now, Paulie Esquire here is my longtime lawyer. You know, he's a graduate from Georgetown. You know, he's a real deal lawyer. And, Paulie, here's my situation. I was in a band, and I'm not in the band anymore, and they're putting press photos of me in the Advance. Do you think I have a case against anyone here?
Well, here's the question. I mean, what are they using it for? Is it a news story, an advertisement? What is it?
It's an advertisement for a show, and, you know, promoting, and as well, they're promoting their album on it, too.
I mean, you have a... Yeah, you might have an argument that if they're using it to make money without your consent, then that's a different story. But newspapers have a very broad, you know, protection against, you know, people suing them for using information, pictures, stuff like that. It's called the Fair Use Doctrine, and it's, you know, been around for a while. And
wait, Paulie Esquire sounds like someone that's actually really involved in the legal profession.
No, Paulie Esquire is a Georgetown graduate. He is the man.
Okay. I apologize for calling into question your credibility, Mr. Esquire. I'm just used to a bunch of Yahoos, not Wahoos, that Fred's always calling. I don't expect there to be anybody serious on the line. I apologize.
It's a very convenient last name, I've noticed.
It is. Get some work. But so, Paul, do you think so you're saying I don't have a lawsuit against the paper for using my image, but maybe the band?
Well, yeah, the first instance, I'd look to the band to see what they're trying to do. But if they're printing an advertisement in there for a show that they're going to, you know, get some cash off of it, they probably can't do that.
But
use your likeness and image to make money.
Because I know for a fact that the band didn't give them that photo, that Staten Island Advance had it in like an archive or something like that. I know it wasn't the band that gave them the photo. So if I ask the Staten Island Advance to stop printing my likeness with the band, will they and they keep doing it, will I still have a lawsuit? If I tell them I'm not in the band anymore, and I don't want to be affiliated with it, do I have a lawsuit then if they keep printing it?
Well, this is America. You could sue for everything, right? Everything and anything. It's all a matter of how deep your pockets are and whether you want to pay a lawyer to go ahead and go forward with that. But hey, the first approach I would take is just write them a letter. Tell them, you know, stop putting my picture in the paper.
Oh, no,
you
no, no.
All, you don't need that.
Paulie, that's my next phone call right after I get off the phone with you. Write to them. That's my next
phone
call.
Yeah, that's the starting. You know, that doesn't work.
How much money?
From a lawyer always.
How much money do you think I can make? Give me a figure.
He's worried about this because obviously those pockets that he has are really, really deep. They're at least a dime bag deep.
So,
hey, what are your damages here? What losses are you suffering by them putting your picture in the paper? You losing viewers on this show?
No, defamation of character. I'm going to defamation of character all
it
the
way.
It
is true. If anybody did look at the AWE section of today's Staten Island Advance, you would see that that Fred looks to be about 3'6" and sits like a little creep.
Defamation of height.
Okay, that would be it.
I look horrible. I'm suffering if I'm suffering pains at school tomorrow, I think all the teachers are going to come in with my likeness and show it to me. I'm going to suffer a little bit of strain.
So you're saying that your bro cuts things out of the paper. He's been walking around. Now, has he cut this out of the paper and you know of this for a fact
this
or
came
he's
out
going to?
Well, this came out today. He's definitely coming in with a picture of me tomorrow, my kid from my class. Paulie, because, you know, I'm a teacher and I watch this kid and he likes to cut people's faces out of the newspaper and then question them about it the next day. I got pain and suffering.
You're onto something there. I mean, if this actually does kind of start to affect your work and your livelihood, then that's a completely different ballgame.
Well, you know, that, Paulie, that's a question I have. If somehow this links back and somehow people trace this maybe like to this show or something and they hear him saying things they don't like, can that affect his job? Can they legally discipline him at his job for saying things on this show that they may not approve of?
Saying things, I'm sorry, on the show?
Yeah, saying things like if they somehow, if this leads to like a domino effect to them leading back to this show and realize that this employee of theirs is this Fred from this radio show and they listen back and don't like maybe things he said, can that, not that Fred would ever say anything inappropriate, but if they do, can they discipline him for something that goes on outside of the workplace?
There was a thing about eradicating all Brazilians that he wanted to kill every Brazilian that lived, which I thought was a little inappropriate, but...
I mean, end of the day, you could be fired for anything. You could be disciplined for anything by your employer, unless you have some kind of employment agreement and you're a protected class. You know, you're over, you know, over a certain age, or you're a minority, or something like that. But
I'm none of those things.
I don't think you fall into any of those categories.
No, I don't. Well, thank you, man, for your legal advice. Thank you, Mr. Esquire.
I appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
I appreciate it. Wow, do we have him on retainer?
He said anytime.
Nice. That's excellent. I'm glad that we have legal representation now. Save that number.
Good luck, Fred. Give me a call if you want to go forward with this.
I will, definitely.
Nice.
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye. Is he a real lawyer?
Yeah, definitely.
Is he a lawyer or is he a law student?
He is a lawyer. A lawyer.
How do you know a lawyer?
I'm high class, man. Bri, call
sometimes
number
he's
two.
Not that careful and you need one. You know?
I am high class. I know high people in high places.
Because lawyers usually associate with the highest class of people.
I'm just amazed that he knows someone that's really a lawyer that like can talk to him like a person. He doesn't like make like isn't like, you know, just taking his money.
No, he's a good guy. He'll.
I'm sure he is. He sounds terrific. He sounds unbelievably beautiful. Just like everybody. Everybody that's listening to this show, Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, is beautiful, beautiful people that could all be a part of this magic.
Yeah, get us 877-744-6405.
I don't think they could do it right now though, because apparently there's
right
another
now.
Call coming right now or being made right now. Are you going to get someone's voicemail right now?
Hello.
Yeah,
this is
but
the
I got to leave a message.
The party you have called.
Do you want to? Oh, I'm sorry.
I would leave a message. I got to leave the message saying
sorry,
not to.
I'll try
not to.
You call me. Who are you calling?
the Advance and tell him not to use my I'm calling the Staten Island and tell him not to use my
We should ask Paulie if you call a newspaper on the air what the legal ramifications of that.
It's voicemail.
It's voicemail. It's public domain.
So that's legal.
It's voicemail.
Of course.
I think that's purely...
Let that be a lesson. If you're ever going to threaten the president, make sure you get his voicemail.
I mean, this is a bad picture of me, though, guys, right? I mean, that's... And it's big. It's not like it's small. It's the whole goddamn page.
It's not. It's. I think it's kind of. I think it's really great for the band that they got that whole big spread on the front cover like that. I think that's kind of nice. But yeah, you do look like a real idiot over the corner there.
Oh, come on, man.
The village idiot on the fence and everything.
What should I tell this person?
Hello. This is the phone mail system. The party you have called at extension
1-3.
Not available. You may leave a message or transfer out of phone mail. To leave a message, begin speaking at the tone. To transfer out of phone mail, push 0.
My name is Fred.
Hello, Mr. Bailey. My name is Fred, and I'm a longtime subscriber to the Staten Island Advance. And I'm just calling you to say, on this week's cover of The Awe, you have featured a band called the Wahoo Crazy Skiffles. And my photo, I was actually in the band about 2 years ago at the time, and the photo that you had taken... that you had actually put on the cover was an old photo that I am not in the band anymore, and I cannot be on covers of papers due to my profession. I do not want my likeness put on the cover of the Advance or anywhere in the Advance. If you could maybe not use those old stock photos that you have, it would be great. Thank you very much. Have a good day, Mr. Bailey. Thank you.
I was just a second too late with it.
What, was that bad?
No, it's fine.
I hate it.
Sorry, it was a second too late.
Jeez. What? Why? What, Brian?
I don't understand how you're calling in and saying, hi, I'm Fred. Take me off your paper. My name is Fred. I would like my likeness. So every person named Fred on the cover of the paper they're looking for now.
Mr. Bailey has a voicemail to play at parties now for the next 5 years.
Yeah, do you think that that'll actually get passed off to Mr. Bailey? Like, you clearly didn't call his direct extent.
He called the subscription line.
It said, send questions or comments to editor Mr. Bailey at...
Does it say Mr.?
No, it says first name. I don't know if I should say his first name.
Congratulations! I gotta say I admire your moxie. I like that you actually called the paper and set him straight and put him and let him know exactly as you were. But the fact that you wouldn't mention your last name because you're here on our show and you don't want people to know your name, I think is hysterical.
Well, fortunately, they don't mention my name in the ad. I heard
Fred. Why would they? You're not in the band anymore.
So why is my face on the cover of the paper, Keith? Exactly.
Hey, Fred, when we make it under the cover of Awe, will you be asking them to sort of black dot your eyes out when or something?
Didn't we go through this already? We were actually in Awe, and no one was in the picture but Keith and I because everyone was afraid to be photographed for the paper, you jerks.
And then that week at my job, I was thinking, I don't want anyone to see this because I don't want them to know about this show. And that week I walk in and I see that issue of Awe on the lunch desk for the first time in history. That paper was on the desk, but nobody ever mentioned it till like a week later, and it wasn't through that. But I've told the story already. My boss came in and said, do you do some sort of a radio show? And I was kind of like,
I'm kind of famous. I'm kind of a big thing. Thanks for noticing.
But that photo of you, Keith and Chris, was modest. It was maybe like a 2x3. It was small off in the corner.
Not by choice. I would have liked the centerfold of the paper.
You would have liked one of these?
Absolutely. I'm proud of the radio show that I do. I want people to know about it, just like you should be proud of being a skiffle.
Or crazy, at least.
I look like a mad leprechaun in that picture.
May I point out one thing? You posed for that picture, stupid. You put yourself in that position.
This is always the argument back to Fred. You knew about this. You crapped on
that plaque right there.
All right, in that situation, he wasn't posing, but he was doing something stupid, so he almost deserved it.
I'm saying in this one, he posed for this picture for a photographer from the Staten Island Advance. So I think it should be expected.
I don't know if you can answer this. Is your wife also angry that she's on the cover?
No, she loves it. She didn't want me to bring it up because she wants her likeness on the cover more.
By the way, our buddy Irish Curse is saying in the Paltalk room, it sounded like you were in the witness protection program saying you didn't need your face in the paper when you call it. It was a nice touch.
I really don't, though. I mean, come on. Can't you see my anger here, Chris? I mean, you think I'm overreacting.
On this one, I think you have a valid case. You're being misrepresented by as being a member of this band when you're not in the band. I do want to point out the fact that you did pose for the picture, though. It's going to make it a hard case. You probably signed something when they took it that they were allowed to use it whenever they wanted to.
What makes you angrier, this or finding the reference to the Church of Man Love when you Googled your own name?
This, because more people are seeing this.
Whoa, bro. Church of Man Love was huge.
Dude, if I go into school tomorrow and my face is blown up on the door of my classroom, I'm going to flip out. I might flip out.
I want to point that. You keep saying over and over again, and here's my face on the cover of the paper. I'm going to say that picture is, your face is not even half of a dime on that. You're a tiny little speck on the side of it. If the kid tries to blow it up, it'll be so pixelated, it'll just look like a big white blob. Don't even worry about it. It's not even a big deal. And it's the stupid Staten Island Advance.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean.
Piece of crap paper, and don't worry about it. I respect... No, actually, I don't. I don't respect anything about you. I think you're garbage. I'm going to send something into the paper that I want you on the cover every day. I'm going to say, like, you're a local singer. I'm going to say you're doing stand-up. I'm going to send you a picture of the paper every single day.
You want to call into Mr. Bailey? You want to make a message?
No.
You sure?
Maybe a little later in the show. I got to think about what I got to say to him.
Can we call him for – yeah, actually, that's what we should do. We should call him and say, Fred isn't doing that anymore. He's actually part of a radio show that you might be interested in hearing about. Here's some pictures. Here's his Christmas picture.
Oh, nice.
And by the way, can we take that down too?
It was taken down. The holidays, I took it down at the Epiphany. Come on. Just like a good Christian. It was only there for the Christmas holiday.
Thank God. Well, those are my woes. Sorry, boys.
Congratulations to you. I think it's hysterical that the one person that I know that wants nothing more than at some semblance of anonymity is just constantly in the paper or being put on people's Facebook pages. I love it. I think it's terrific.
Price of fame, boys.
You're famous. You're very, very big.
When your life has basically been an actor, being in bands, owning a theater company, doing a radio show, who wouldn't want
obviously,
anonymity?
Publicity, ill. Why would you want that?
No publicity is great publicity.
It's true. It's true. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be. If you want to be a piece of this, a part of this magic, you can. 877-744-6405. We're in Pal Talk in the Heroes Talk radio room, and we're just over at heroestalk.com. So check it out. I have to get back in the habit of doing that. I totally forgot. I feel like it's been so long since we've been doing the show, so I'm not used to it. I'm not comfortable with all these things. There's lots of things I'm not comfortable with at all.
Like what?
That you two guys just screaming like weirdos.
Jake, show me a beer.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week, talking about a person that they were seeing, this new person that they were seeing, a little bit of a romantic advice I was trying to give this person, and
Wait a minute. Try to give romantic advice to somebody?
Not exactly. We're talking about their relationship.
Don't do it. You're going to hate her or him.
By romantic stuff, do you mean sex acts or really being like you need to do candlelight and like
he's given positions
oil
out.
Well, in a lot of different aspects, we talked on all different levels. Let me cut to the chase. So this person I know is talking to me about this new person that they're saying, and thinks they kind of really like this person. Thinks there might be, some potential for some real long-term, love there.
I can hear it now. You know she's going to die or break up with you eventually. That's how life goes.
I mean,
deal with it.
Not go for it. It's going to end bad. But,
it always does.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Hey, it might be the best 2-3 weeks of your life, but by week 4, do yourself in.
You enjoy pain?
No, it was.
You gave none of that, really?
No, I didn't give any of that. It was very nice. It was very romantic. Conversation.
Did you withholding information?
What? No, we didn't get to that. Like I said, so just talking, and we started talking about. And this person and I we've had a tendency to have conversations that get a bit lurid, get a little bit filthy, get a little bit disgusting while we're talking. Like, dudes, so you're trying to get a little action, whatever, something like that.
Your mom's dating again?
Yes, obviously. Jeez. And I mentioned.
Can I at least ask if this is a male or a female?
I'm not going to answer that question. That would be
Well, can I ask?
Yeah, no, that is stricken from the record. You didn't ask it.
You can ask. You're not going to get an answer, though, Kate.
So the conversation was going on. We were talking about
which means female.
Yeah, it was a girl.
And the thing is, she's talking about liking this guy, really liking this guy, but she's seeing another guy already. And I said, well, why don't you just try and see both of these people at the same time? You know, who knows?
Jerk, you should be hung.
Have a Manette. Well, seeing. She's not going out with anybody. She's seeing them. It's very...
When you start dating someone, do you want to hear, oh, I have a date later? I mean, it's not TV and movies. Like, I always
they're
think
not
that's
dating.
The
they're not dating. It's someone that she's seeing.
It's like, hey, like booty calls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, so go see the other guy too. Who cares? It's fine. What difference does it make?
And it's a difference to me. You're not allowed to see me.
She's not seeing you, is she?
It's not her.
She will eventually at this rate.
But so we go through the whole thing and we mentioned the idea that, I said, well, you know, she could see one, see the other. Hey, make it a menagerie. Enjoy yourself. See both of them at the same time.
No.
And her response was just like, well, I'm into that, kind of. I'd be into that, but definitely not with these two people. Definitely not with this guy because I really like him. I was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You'd be into doing something but not with this person because you like them too much?
Absolutely.
And then the concept was, okay, so then you're on board with this. The concept to me of withholding a certain aspect of sexual relations with someone because you like them too much.
In the beginning, you have to. You can't go full out.
Seems kind of backwards to me. It almost seems like, but if you're really like, shouldn't you be able to do whatever you want with someone that you actually really like?
Not in the beginning. You got to ease into yourself. If she would have done that, menage,
I also want to point out that in this conversation, my response to her when I said this, like, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. I've been out of the game for years. Two, I never was in the game. Like, I never had any game. I'm far from a player by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know what I'm doing.
If she had asked the guy to have a menage, or they did have the menage, I think he would have thought she was maybe a little bit too freaky for her, you know what I mean, for him.
But was like, that?
She was too freaky. She's too freaky. I can't deal with this. She's asking me to have a threesome with another dude. That's crazy. I'm out. Like, those things, like, come into play.
But this is where it depends. She didn't say, I can't ask this person for that. She said, I couldn't do it with this person for that. So to me, it's more that she couldn't even be involved in that with this person.
I think
person.
It's a little bit of both, though. I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, then if it's the thing, it makes total sense. I mean, you can't ask that, hey, you wanna bang me and another dude? Like,
could you think of a guy on the planet that would be like, no, I'm sorry, I couldn't possibly have sex with you and another man at
me.
The same time? Really?
Yeah. Oh, me too. I'm not doing that with another dude.
I bet this is way more interesting than your story.
Really?
You're into doing something with another dude?
No, I'm not into doing something with another dude, but I wouldn't be taken aback by a girl saying, hey, let's get it going.
I was thinking even I guess, quote, worse. I don't think I'd be into doing it with, like, with two girls. Like, I'm a little kind of weirded out by it. I totally understand, like, her point of view because, like, you might want to do it with two whores. But you wouldn't want to do it with someone that you're actually involved in.
Why not?
For me, it's kind of like I worry about the repercussions, the possible repercussions. I know that something could go horribly wrong. I don't know. The relationship can start opening up and she'll cross a line that I have that's too rigid.
Black that you don't want crossed.
Or she'll start liking her better than me, which is a real possibility.
Let's take it away from the menagerie. So this means like every, for lack of a better term, subversive sex act is something that's off limits. You have to be like, you know, missionary and very nice at the beginning, or
just with other people.
Yeah, I think involving
other people.
Yeah, involving other people is probably weird.
So if let's just say,
because I'll drill a hole in her head and I'll go right in there. There's really nothing that's going to stop me from that.
So let's say
I'm like, not a friend.
I'm not dating anymore. I'm not with my wife anymore. I move on with my life, and I start seeing a new girl. Suggesting piss the first day is a bad idea. Then is what you're saying? Well, that's okay.
No, you got
to
ease
in. First day, no.
No way.
The first day. Hi, nice to meet you. Can you piss on me?
No, day four. You guys have hooked up, and now you're exploring other possibilities.
Hang around with her long enough that the topic will come up at some point.
You got to have
excuses herself.
Chris, you definitely have to have a couple of sexual experiences, just normal, before you can even
don't say normal. Don't use the word normal.
Okay. But this seems – okay, the thing that you're talking about here –
that peeing on another person isn't normal, Fred, is what I'm getting at.
You guys are talking about an ice-breaking thing then. What this girl was saying seemed like, no, I like him too much to do something like that with him.
Well, that was my point earlier. I think it's, could it be even do it with
Could that be your point now?
Okay. Okay. That's my point now.
For me, and I think from her perspective, it's the fear of screwing it up. Like something can go wrong. You're inviting something to go horribly wrong in that situation.
I think probably it's partially this thing that she doesn't want to have this image to him. And no matter what, even if he's into that, like she may think that eventually he'll use that against her. You know what I mean? Like Brian said, repercussions. You know, like I think she probably feels like eventually there'll be repercussions where he'll be like, he'll start saying, you know what? She's kind of a whore for doing that.
I'm just thinking, like, if this is someone you really like and there really is something there, you should just be able to go crazy and enjoy.
Think about this, Chris. Like, you're having sex with your wife and her best woman friend.
Wait, hold on.
Memories. And it's not Keith, by the way. He doesn't hang out with her anymore.
Okay, no, yeah, so, okay, I'm thinking about that.
Well, a year or so down the road, you start to get into a fight with your wife, and things start to become distant.
I would probably get into a fight with my wife during, while it was actually happening.
Not on the first date.
Okay, so.
Don't you worry about the possibility that maybe, in her mind, you're distancing yourself from the relationship because she thinks you had a better time with her best friend? Or maybe she starts getting suspicious of you hanging out with her best friend because wow. He must have liked her sex better than my sex, and he's married to me, and what a tortured life.
I just have such a different view on sex than anybody in this room, apparently. I think it's such a frivolous and like whatever.
Yeah, I don't think there's any big deal doing those other things you were talking about with someone. Which
other things? Jumping jacks?
If you want to do jumping jacks, if you want to piss on her while she does jumping jacks, that's fine if you're both into it. But
by the way, I just want to say peeing on a girl, I think, is the worst thing you could do. Getting peed on by a girl, terrific. I just want to officially say that.
Just write the rules out for us and submit it to every new couple.
So that's normal and abnormal. That's the difference. That's where you draw.
It's just what
bad,
I'm not
peed on good.
Right, correct. That's what I like. That's just my own personal
straight
sense.
And gay. Is what you're saying.
It's gay to pee on a girl, but the involvement of another person, I think, is a different argument. I think it's, man, maybe that's just me, but I think it's a whole different game to involve another
person. I'm
trying
to argue. I'm just, you know, I guess I gave her bad advice. I hope she's not getting spit roasted right now and ruining her credibility.
You want to test it? Say to your wife later. So my dad's coming over.
There's no way, Chris, when you were courting girls back in the day, that you fully went and just first
Chris
date were
girls.
Like, you know, I like the pee, I like, you know, four fingers in the butt.
When I was younger, not so much, but like
640s and five lines in, who knows?
But in my, like, as I became like a man and I wasn't like a kid, like I didn't care. I was pretty upfront about how screwy my head is and what I'm into.
Really?
I'm pretty screwed up. I'm pretty screwed up and I'm pretty open about that.
And you'll do that. Wow. It's open. That's real open. I guess I'm a prude when it comes to that sort of thing.
Or maybe I'm insane. Maybe I'm insane because it doesn't seem like that's the popular feeling here. It seems like I'm the weird one.
Well, even if you know, even if you realize that you think a little differently, you still have to kind of keep the consideration of your significant other in mind. Like, you have to worry about what she thinks of the situation. Like, it's not so much if you think it's gross is what if she thinks it's gross, or what if she thinks you're broken as a result of wanting this, or what if she likes something
then
better than yourself that you've introduced into the situation.
Okay, then that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Then that's what'll happen.
Starts thinking those things about you? I mean, it just seems like it's a recipe for disaster. I guess
it's just a lot of hang-ups in there that I just feel like, you know, things will run their course, and whatever course they're going to run, they're going to run. I don't know. Amazingly, ironically, if I could take it to another crazy level of this, while talking to the same girl about the same guy about what she liked, you know, about liking him, we talked about you know, the idea of taking him to see of seeing a movie with him, of seeing particular movies. I'm trying to think. I don't remember if it was Bottle Rocket we were talking about, like one of the movies I think is a really important movie. Like, oh, you should hang out, watch a movie with her. And she's like, oh, gross. No, it's not at that point of the relationship yet. I can't do that with him. It's just like, wait, this is like, it's just like, it's the insane thing.
That's weird.
Yeah, you know?
That's really weird. Yeah, that's the first thing you do with someone, isn't it?
Describe that a little deeper. What do you mean? She doesn't want to go to any movie with someone?
Could it have been related to the significance of the movie you mentioned?
Exactly. That was the idea. Like, that movie's too big to be bringing into the relationship at this point.
Oh, see, I think you bring out the big guns early. You bring out the big movies early, you know? Because okay. Somehow they make you look better. when you watch something with her that's really good, totally, or listen to a band that makes you look that much better.
Yeah, what outfit are you wearing? Your semi-good outfit or your best outfit? You're wearing the best outfit. You want to bring your A-game for everything, your art,
our
choices.
Our relationship isn't serious enough yet for me to be bringing that movie into the mix.
If you make her a mixtape or if she makes him a mixtape, is she going to put a weak song as the first song? She's got to grab him from the beginning. I think the same goes for the movie.
Okay, I'm with you on both counts.
Get her on the phone.
It was just an odd thing to me to think, no, I can't do this kind of sex that I want to do with him. Our relationship is too serious for that. Oh, no, I can't watch this movie with him like that because our relationship isn't serious enough for that yet. And but, this is the same person talking about the same guy, which I thought was crazy.
But you're not even talking about like a romantic movie or some relationship movie. You're talking about some sort of independent comedy. That they just really like? Is that what it is?
You're really downplaying the importance of Bottle Rocket as a film.
I think it's a fine, fine film, but I mean, it's Bottle Rocket. Is it really... what is she... I don't understand.
Well, Bottle Rocket probably has some significance to her that whatever. Maybe it's the best movie in the world to her or whatever, or has some other significance, but yeah, I just... I think
thinks that.
Why, Bottle Rocket's the best movie in the world?
It really is. I think it that. It just, you know, it was. I found it. It struck me as odd that this is this thing that goes on in people's head, and the idea of what level of a relationship you're at with someone defines what things you can and can't do with
there
them.
Are
whether
right.
they're things,
yeah.
whether they're things that you like that just seem like you should be able to share at any point if you're into it.
You know what I'm confused about though? Just to go back to something, if you were willing to, if you had no hang-ups about the third person being involved. And you were sexually...
I don't.
And you were willing to do something with a guy, like, or even be sexually attracted to watch him do something, that I would understand. But as someone that's not sexually attracted to men, I don't understand the appeal of another man being there during the act. That's kind of weird to me that you were like, who wouldn't jump at the chance for that?
I just... It's not that who wouldn't jump at the chance. That wouldn't be a deal breaker for me by any stretch.
You would high five? Like if you would high five the guy?
I don't know that I would high five, but I would be fine with it.
Would you hold hands with him?
No. Why would I hold
but
hands
But that's the thing I'm saying. Like, I could see if there was an attraction to him, but that's one thing. But I don't know. That just
it wouldn't be... But my point is, it wouldn't be like, oh, man, I can't wait to do it with her and another
it's
guy.
It's such a first choice.
But if the girl's just like, oh, man, I totally want two guys to just... You know, crush this thing. I'm like, all right, let's go.
So there should be no point in the relationship that's out of bounds. What I'm getting at is your wife suggests it to you now, you, her, and another guy. Oh. And that's honestly because you've said in the past
Fred's brother.
Your wife betraying you sexually isn't as bad as her betraying you emotionally. You've said over and over.
Yeah, that's true. I think it would be a symptom of something odd, but yeah, that's fine. We can go there.
All kidding aside, and I'm not even joking. What if it's Brian?
Not a chance in the world.
It would have to be someone you don't know, right, Chris?
Not necessarily.
Wow.
I'll be honest.
Entertain that option.
I don't think I have a problem with Chaz the Dazzler coming over and hanging out.
Now I'm starting to take a little insult. You'd do it with Chaz, but you wouldn't share it with me.
Yes, that's correct.
Why? What's that about?
Your penis is too beautiful.
Is it? You're intimidated by my sexuality?
Not even slightly. Not even slightly.
Brian, you ooze sexuality, man.
Well, I wouldn't go near that situation. I think that's a safe bet. So, I mean, I totally agree.
I've lost internet again.
Fred, what about you?
Would I entertain that thought?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely not. And I wouldn't. And even if it was the hottest girl in the world that came up to me at a party and I was single and she said, I want to do two dudes tonight. You want to be in it? I would definitely not do it.
Well, let me ask you something because I wouldn't.
Like a new relationship. Like, yo, what's up? Definitely. Come, let's do this.
Definitely not.
Come, let's do this.
You wouldn't be like, yo, what do you say? Like, there's no other strings attached, nothing crazy. Like, just hanging out. Like, yo, bro, come over and crush this thing with my boy.
Clearly, it's not just hanging out. I don't understand that.
My boy's going to crush me tonight. You want to come join him?
No, not me. It. Smash this thing.
There's definitely no shot I'm doing it, Keith. And you, I know.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
And you're the biggest homo here.
I'm not though. If I was
not anymore.
But even if I was, even if I was like sexually attracted to men, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it either. I would feel weird about anyone else being involved, even a girl. And that's another question. What if your wife wanted to do it with you and another girl?
I don't think I could do that either, because it's just going to bring up.
Yeah,
some,
I agree.
Like,
it's weird. And
again, I guess there's a whole rule to the menagerie thing that I wasn't thinking about.
That's not a rule. It's an effect. Are you still not that? Now that you know about this, are you still not worried about the possible fallout of the non-monogamous relationship?
I think the way things play out are the way things play out. Yeah, that's fine.
Chris, what if your wife said she wanted to swap for one night? And there was like a couple, like a, but it was you know, it was alone, but both attractive couple, and says she wants to swap just one night, and that's it. We'll never talk about it again. You would be down with that too?
Swapping?
Yeah.
But she wants to swap with me, so you get me.
Yeah, I mean, these are hypotheticals that I would need more details of, but based on the tenets of the thing, I don't think I would have an issue.
Wow.
Key party?
What do you mean?
Would you go to a key party?
I don't know what a key party is.
You never saw the Ice Storm? That's where I know a key party from. All the people go, everyone that wants to be involved, it's supposed to be couples, I think, all put their keys into a bowl, and then at the end of the night, the women each draw a key, and whoever man's keys they drew, they go home with.
70s thing.
It's a big 70s 60s, swap. 70s. I'm sure they're doing it now, too.
Isn't it when you dress up like Indians and throw tea off of the boat and then murder pioneers in Boston?
I might be fine with that. I'm not that repressed. I don't really care. Like, I'm cool with just like partying.
You'd be down with swapping, Keith?
No.
No? Bri, swapping?
Under no circumstances. Not even casual. No way.
Not even casual, as opposed to serious swap.
Like, if I just started.
Dude, we have to swap every day. Every single day. This is a serious issue.
Or a permanent swap, you know? Or we're going to move to Alaska for a couple of years.
No, I mean to say, if I just started dating her, or if it was just like a friend of a friend who I was happened to be having sex with on the side or something, bring her to a party. I would not be okay. My ego is too small. I wouldn't be okay with being able to let someone else have at that thing that is mine.
Crush it.
Size doesn't matter when it comes to egos, though.
Well, and Chris, you're also talking to you were talking to a female, and you know, I don't know for you guys, but I really never juggled women. I wasn't really a womanizer. I was never really having sex with two people at the same time ever in my life. And I'm sure women, of course, probably get the chance better to do it than men do.
Most women have the chance to have sex with four people on the way to the store.
Exactly.
Like, it's no problem.
Yeah. So
where are you shopping?
But I can't believe that, like, she's kind of thinking like a guy, because it's like more of like a guy would think, like, oh, should I call her? Like, even the call and the communication in the beginning of a relationship is like, all right, I'm not going to call for 2 days, and I can't keep calling. And then it gradually gets, you know, more and more. There's so many rules to those type of things. Relationships, serious relationships, non-serious relationships, the guy that you're just seeing to make the other guy jealous. I'm sure this goes, there's an onion to peel back there.
I love onion peeling.
You should just limit it. You should limit everything to the most base rules. Other girls don't exist.
Missionary position.
No, that's fine.
Nothing but crying. And that's it. And nothing else can happen.
Now, see, the acts. Now, two people alone, once you shut the door and lock it and do whatever you want, I don't think anything should be off limits as long as everyone, you know, as long as murder isn't involved.
Oh, you're such a prude. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Walter Sobchak, sir.
How are you, my friend?
Hey, Walter.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. I'm only calling because y'all talked about a subject that I think you're not... I can't believe that Keith and Fred, that if your wife or girlfriend walked into the room and said, hey, I got another girl, let's party. That the two of you would be, no, I'm not doing it. It's too weird. I'm like, my God, you absolutely jump in, whatever you gotta do.
First of all, I don't know. I know most people have that answer, but I think I would feel like all shy and weird and weirded out by the fact that she wanted to do it. Not that there's anything wrong if someone wants to do that, but I guess her specifically, if she wanted to do it, or I would start feeling inferior or something. Like, I don't know. I think my own psyche would get to me. I'm not really I wouldn't be like the cut loose and have fun guy.
I've had that chance before. I've had it to me.
Well, you know, think of it this way, though. what would you fear more? The inferiority of being, oh, God, I might be inadequate or this might be kind of weird, or 20 years later going, oh, my God, I turned down nailing two girls at one time?
Never. I don't think – it's just not in me. I just really have no desire to do it. I'm afraid of the repercussions that I would get the years after. Like, why did you let me do that? Like, for some reason, it would somehow be my fault. That's what I'm scared of, which I don't want to happen. Because in the scenario, of course, you know, my wife is doing it. She's bringing the girl over. I just couldn't do it. It's just not one of my things. I don't know. What, Walter, you would do it in a second?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you swap?
Are you kidding me?
Would you swap? Would you not be in the same
room? We've talked about it before. To be honest with you, like in our current predicament, it's not exactly an option. We've talked about it before, and it's the subject's rising, and we almost went through it one time, but it just in those situations, like, it really has to do with a couple. You know what I mean? It's kind of.
But Walter, you're not But Walter, you're not thinking like this guy has a bigger dong than me. He's doing it better than I am. Like, and when you're doing it with your girl after that, are you, you're not thinking, oh, did he do her better? Is she enjoying this less or more?
Such hang-ups, man.
Well,
such
hang-ups. Fred, the difference Fred, the difference is, man, I'm a grown man. I know what I got. I don't have any fears that. I don't have insecurities like that, bro. It's kind of like being a man. Don't think about that.
Point out, Walter's a full grown man. He crushes it. He doesn't have to worry about anything else.
Exactly.
Crushing it better than him.
Walter's saying he's well endowed, is what he's saying in that little speech.
Well, I think he's saying he doesn't
care.
Whether
I am or not. Yeah. Well, what does it matter? You know.
And Walter,
if she cared about stuff, she would have a long time ago. Now, if it mattered to her, we've been married now 7 or 8 years. You know, if it mattered to her then, it would have mattered to her then. Why would I care?
But even the fact that she wants to go along with it, you don't feel insecure. It's like, why does she want to go along with it? Am I not enough? Why would she want something new? Am I old to her now? You don't even get that kind of feeling?
I know, man. It depends on it just depends on the, like, I'm married to a very sexual person, and so, like, you know, sex to her is very much of a giving, like, it's kind of like that. I hate to say it, that love language crap, but that's her way of affection, and so it doesn't bother me if she was like, hey, I kind of this chick is hot or this situation's hot. No, because that's that's her. No, that's absolutely not. And I'd want to please her, and that would make her happy. So I want to make her happy. And so consequently, I get some of the side benefit of making her happy.
Oh, okay, is there anything is there anything you wouldn't do? Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line, with how many people, races, video?
Never after a race.
I mean, do you draw the line anywhere?
To be honest with you, I love her, and I love every situation, and I haven't been there yet. If she decided that we wanted to start launching, turds at each other, and swinging baseball bats, I might have a problem. But at this point, anything's in play. You know, if it makes her happy, you know, and absolutely,
You and Chris are crazy. You and Chris are crazy.
Did you guys have swinging baseball bats? That's the first fantasy that he went to.
That was the line. That was that where he draws the line.
The second one, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the thing about this is, like, I grew up in a very conservative area, and I still am very conservative. It's just as you get a little older, you mature, and you're like, dude, what does it matter? Like, I know who I am. I know what I have. I know what I have to offer, and if she bang somebody and thinks that they're better, okay, go for it. Like, I'm self-assured enough to know that it just doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Well, that's great because I know for a fact that I am a person that definitely couldn't handle it, and I have huge hang-ups and stuff, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I guess me and my wife do share the same opinion that we don't want to share each other with anybody else, and that would be a big thing if we did. So
and that's a perfect match. That's exactly. Terrific for you guys.
Yeah, totally. And I guess it really depends on the couple and you know, where the lines are drawn. I just know that, God bless you guys, man, because I couldn't do that.
I think the big problem with people doing stuff in a relationship, I think, I guess my big fear is not the only fear, but a major thing is the risk of if you now involve a third person, now there's a chance that two of those three people are going to decide that they're the ones that are really into each other, and somehow someone's going to left, you know what I mean, be left out in the cold. I don't know. That's just one problem.
Well, you know, wouldn't you take the philosophy, though, that, like, and anybody, so you're going to pick, you know, you're going to, it's not gonna, hey, that's a couple, let's bang them, you know. It's going to be a mutual, you know. There's a slight selection process, you know. You have to both kind of be kind of into it and understand the rules. You know, to be honest with you, it's kind of weird. Like, you'd have to set those kind of rules up ahead of time. It wouldn't be something like, you know, it's usually a swinging type situation. Is people have set those rules up ahead of time. It's not a, you know, it's like, hey, there you go. We're going to have a pre-game meeting, sort out the rules of the game. And then you just don't go out there and start throwing passes and figure out, oh, wait a minute. You know, somebody's got a really hard running game here.
Walter,
I don't know how to defend against this. This could be bad.
How, you know? Walter, how hot does the guy have to be for you to get it on with him? Like a New York 9?
Say it again.
No,
say it again.
Forget it. I mean, I couldn't do it, Chris. I'm. You share the same opinion with Walter.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Walter is a sane thinking man. He's he knows what's up, and he's advanced. He's evolved. He's a gentleman. He knows how to rock the world and do what he has to do.
He's a lot of talk. He wouldn't do it, clearly. He hasn't done it. He says they've talked about it, which means she's let him. She's given him the honor or the possibility, and
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but you've got to understand, though, like, it's all the, when you say it's the couple, like, I've had more fun being married than I ever did being single. I was single, like, you know, I don't know, being single, you're like, you look more desperate, you're trying, you don't know when you're going to get laid or whatever. Dude, we can go to a party and my wife is going to get a girl's top off. It's just going to happen. You know, it's just going to happen. She's going to want to play with him, and who am I to deny her that she wants to play with, you know, and so that's, you know, so consequently, she brings the party, so yeah. Why
so
would
wait,
I
so
deny
then,
her to bring the party?
So then, Walter, to Brian's point then you're an excited spectator for these events. You're not actually getting up in the mix, but you would or you wouldn't, or you're still in that I don't know.
Well, no, absolutely. Like, it's I would certainly join in, but, like, you know, you're going to play your A game. You're going to put your best player out there. My best player happens to be my wife, so I'll put her out there and enjoy, and whatever happens, happens. If it doesn't, she had fun, you know?
Oh, wait a second. I was unclear. The opportunity simply hasn't presented itself for you yet. Like, you're giving a little lip service to the whole, like, strength of the couple thing. In fact, she's the one getting all the action, and you're just watching. Do you hope eventually it'll convert into
something? She's told me on repeated occasions, if I found one that was nice, you know, let her know. And so...
one.
So you haven't found one girl that was nice yet? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, I've got a nice, good-looking one at home. I'm kind of like, I'm just going to be picky.
There's some trepidation.
Just like me.
There's some trepidation on his part that he's stopping himself.
I just feel like a girl is going to do stuff, especially with another girl, and later, no matter what, and I'm not generalizing every girl here, but I think there's a good chance she might say later on, like, she wasn't good enough, I'm not good enough for him, he needed her, and I just feel like it would definitely come back to haunt you. And like I said, I would just feel like...
Walter, hypothetical, you're at a bar. You're drinking, your girl's drinking, you know, you're right next to this other chick who's hot for the both of you.
So, like, a female Chris, real hot.
Real hot, female Chris type. And your girl starts, you know, flirting with her. They start, you know, kissing up a little, making out a little bit. Now, are you letting that happen without even her saying anything to you at that point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now,
you don't step in. No, you don't step in.
God's work. It's God's will.
Now, you want to get in on that situation that's happening right there at the bar. Do you now stick your tongue in between the two of them, or do you ask your girl?
If I can interrupt, I think the proper etiquette is to whip it out and start jerking off right at the bar. That's the proper etiquette.
Preferably not at the bar. I mean, it's a little inappropriate, but it's one of those things you like I said, if you're playing a game, you find your opportunity, and if you know your girl, she's going to give you a vibe that it's okay.
But you have to ask, or are you just going to get that vibe?
No, it's kind of you would get the vibe. It's absolutely where she sets the pace. Absolutely. You know, and usually what would happen is she would start to show a little affection or whatever, and she would talk to the girl. Next thing you know, it'd be, hey, we would like to go have some fun. What do you think?
Oh, then it's up to the girl to say if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, wouldn't you think I'd rather be a caveman and bonk him on the head and drag him back to the cave? Absolutely. But it's just not going
to
happen.
It never seems to be up to Walter. Walter is just assumed to be...
if you're the guy...
He's going to be a victim of his menagerie when it happens. An unwilling victim getting hit by a hit and run of it. Awesome. Walter, thank you for calling in and sharing and being part and letting us know how an evolved gentleman approaches this this topic.
Absolutely. Hatestalk.com or Hatestalk Mondays.
Excellent. Hatestalk.com. Nice. That's our buddy. They do a fantastic podcast. Him and our buddy, Jimmy JJ Walker. They do an interesting little podcast that reviews the fine shows of the Heroes Talk family. It's good stuff.
The grapefruit were great. Thank you, man. Delicious.
He's gone. He's gone, but yeah. He's still a scarf down like
apparently to the Hatestalk thinks that you just, lock us in your basement, Chris, and make us do the show.
These things happen. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Hello? Yeah, this is Jimmy.
This is who?
Jimmy JJ Walker.
Oh, Jimmy JJ Walker. What's going on, buddy? Can barely hear you. How you doing?
All right. I just wanted to call in because I was kind of crying when Walter was talking, so I kind of wanted to... call and give my opinion about this topic.
Please do. By all means, share. What is a man to do? What is a fella to do? What are the rules of engagement? What are you allowed to be involved in? What is not allowed to be involved? Let us know.
See, the thing is, all of you have something which I don't have, which is emotional connection. I don't have that with women. So the thing is, I would just basically pay a whore and a gigolo and watch them go at it for about a half an hour. And just sit in the corner right there and just watch them for a little bit. Well, and direct them, obviously. So basically, I like to do low-budget porn for myself, you know? It's a little expensive for myself, but I like to enjoy it myself. I like to see people get choked, and that's why you guys can't get into this, because you have this love for your women, and I don't.
So wait, so
and, you know...
I just want to be clear, Mr. Walker, if I may call you that. Your desired or your preferred form of this show that's happening is you want a lady and a man there together to do whatever it is that they're going to do.
Yes, that's basically... The thing is, you guys are talking about this... Listen, sex is not as complicated as you want to make it. Okay, can you guys hear me clearly? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you sound terrific. Nonsense.
Okay, good. See, the thing is, you guys are like, oh, I don't want to involve another person. Okay, I'll make this simple for you guys. How about this? So you guys can feel more comfortable. I will come over to your homes. I will sit in a corner, and I will watch you guys have sex. That way you guys can feel comfortable for a little bit. You know what? That way you guys can get... good and comfortable with somebody watching
you. He's doing
you.
Us a favor.
And then you move on to enjoying somebody.
I've got to be honest with you, Jimmy. We found my limit. I found what I don't want to do sexually. We've just found it right here on the show. I don't think I want to be the lion in the cage being stared at by Jimmy JJ Walker.
Jimmy would just stare though, right? Jimmy, you would just stare, nothing else, right?
Well, he'd be eating carrots the entire time. He would be eating carrots
to improve his eyesight.
Obviously.
Oh God. I'm dying. I am sorry, guys. You know what? I thought I was going to call in and try to save Walter, but apparently I can only hear gargling. So if you guys can hear me, that's great. But what's going to happen is all you guys are going to be quiet and continue to listen to what I'm going to tell you right now. What you have to understand is you have to have voyeurism in you in order to have a three-way. You can't have a three-way with another person if you don't, if you're not comfortable with other people watching you be intimate. If you're not okay with being intimate in front of other people, there's no way you can have a three-way. Okay, so this is what you guys have to do. You guys have to be okay with somebody watching you kiss your wife,
do cats
grab
count?
Her breast, do give her a goose. Just listen, you guys are walking down the street, just give her a quick goose right there in the middle of the street while everybody's watching. And just go, hee, 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 I love you. And then, you know, that way you do these things and then you get comfortable and you're like, oh, okay, everybody watches me screw around with my wife in the street. I might as well let somebody enjoy it while I watch. You know, that's how you start. You can't just throw yourself into a three-way.
He's
you have to
this
slowly
in.
Progress.
See, my problem isn't with, if you're going to have a random sexual encounter, I say 2, 3, 7, whatever it is, there's no problem. My problem specifically is with being with someone in a relationship and then involving another person. That's the hang-up I have.
And I guess that's...
Okay, then here's what you guys got to do. Then what you have to do is go to one of these clubs where you just have sex with random people. Remember that movie, the Son of Sam movie that that what's his name made? And
Malcolm X made.
Whatever.
Yes, I remember it.
Yeah, Malcolm X. I don't know Spike the black, the guy who loves the Knicks. I'm sorry. I'm not good with names. This is the thing about Jimmy J.D. Walker. Everybody should realize I don't know details of things. So
Eternal
yeah,
Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Right.
Yeah. So they had a scene in it when that Spanish guy and his chick were having sex in the orgy place. This is what you guys have to do. Okay, go to an orgy club, have sex, put a mask on if you have to, so you don't have to see the guys who are banging your wife. You know, probably to one where you could let me know where you're going, so I, you know, whatever. But anyway, but this is what you do.
Himself.
You have to get yourself you have to be sexually free with your bodies and with your loved one. You have to be able to understand that sex is not equated with the love you have for them.
Now,
until you have that type of connection, then you can't do a three-way. If you feel a physical contact with another human being is violating your trust with the other person, then obviously you're not comfortable enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, I'm quite glad to hear that you're willing to do orgies, because if you don't mind a room full of big, muscular black guys just going to town, I can get a couple of people together and we can, work them out.
Like I said, I am
I'm just, don't laugh. This is, we're being serious here.
We're talking like gentlemen.
We got a lot of people listening. I want you all to know that, you know, if you guys are ever into doing something, you know, give me a call. I have some friends who like to dress up in furry clothing and we can do some stuff, okay?
Excellent, buddy.
Thank you guys.
Really appreciate it, Jimmy. Wow, all of a sudden I just choked. Hey, what a fun.
Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy. Really do appreciate it. Absolutely. Again, I have no problem with the concept of what's going on, but I'm not suggesting in any way that my wife is looking for any of this. Just saying that if that were to be the case, I think I'd be cool with it. And again, it could be the fact that the threat of it actually coming to fruition isn't there. Maybe that's why I am so comfortable with it. I guess. I don't know.
I think J.J. Walker is kind of talking out of his butt again as well. Like, he kind of started this whole diatribe that he went into with our, quote, problem about the situation is that we actually have love for our women, which begs the question, what happens when you actually fall in love with a woman? Do you not act like this anymore?
He says he won't.
You say it's impossible for you to fall
in
love
with another.
When
a man loves a woman... I'm sorry.
I would love to be able to do a little back and forth conversation, everybody, but I'm on a crappy cell phone, and as you can hear me clearly, I just heard a gargled mess of relationship, and okay, just there, you guys.
Basically.
I know I'm going to hang up a little bit, but I just want to throw this out there so that you guys don't feel awkward about this. I will come out to whatever hotel you want me to. I will watch you guys have
He's
sex.
Helping.
And everybody can feel comfortable. Listen, I will be like the friend. I will break you guys in. I will sit there and watch you in the corner. I won't touch. Trust me. I won't do anything weird or creepy. I'll just sit there and I'll probably... let me just get one load. You let me do one load out, then I won't touch. Okay? So just remember that. Jimmy is offering...
Did he say get one load out?
That's his new motto. Jimmy JJ's Walker new motto, one load and I'm out.
I wonder if I could get JJ for my anniversary. It's coming up soon. Maybe
I'm sure you could work that out.
Thanks, JJ.
Jimmy JJ Walker from Hey Let's Talk, our buddy. Good stuff.
Every Monday at 10. Keep that in mind.
Thanks,
excellent.
Man.
And remember, guys, also, I'll need a rocking chair.
Oh, nice. Okay.
All right, guys.
Not creepy at all. Definitely not creepy at all. Awesome. That's our buddy Jimmy J.J. Walker. He's going to break you guys in and teach you the ways of loving and of exotic loving, apparently.
Jimmy J.J. Watcher.
Good stuff. Good stuff. It's Heroes Talk. It's Best in Show. Exciting party time pizza.
So, Jimmy brought up movies earlier. And what was that movie he brought up? I already forgot.
He said it was
Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of movies lately because I don't know if you guys know, but I have some free time.
Oh, where, do you?
Yeah, but I've been noticing there's like I don't know if anyone else notices this, but there are more and more incredibly annoying trends happening in movies right now, and trends that are like starting to drive me crazy.
Are these old trends that like have been being reproduced over and over again? It's the same type of.
They're nothing new, and I guess
cookie cutter type thing.
Well, they're trends, meaning obviously they're being repeated, but they're not old. It's not like, you know, I have a real problem. The guy always gets the girl in the end, or vice versa, whatever. It's more like
I hate when the movies and the credits come at the end. That's the trend I can't stand about them.
People talking, you know, but I have a real
problem.
Sit
in a theater,
for example. Who does that anymore?
It's true.
So I have an example. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. There's a movie. I'm not even going to say the movie, but there's a thing that happens when something happens in a movie.
I'm not even going to tell you about it. It's a secret. Forget it.
When something happens in a movie and it's related to something, like you should remember, oh, that's why that happened earlier. There's this whole trend of beating you over the head and like not accepting that the viewer is smart enough to say on their own, oh, okay, that's why that happened earlier. Now they have to show you a flashback of something that
happening
happened
again.
15 minutes ago.
Guess
the,
what?
The, what?
People aren't smart enough. They need that.
Then they shouldn't be watching these movies.
The majority of the people need that.
And I understand the Saw movies are probably marketed towards those people mostly, but the Saw movies perfected it. I mean, they made it a freaking art form of just showing you. I swear that in one of the Saw movies, they literally show you something that happened like 3 minutes earlier to remind you. Like, what sort of an attention span do you have to have?
I'm telling you, honestly, if you were a fly on the wall in my therapist appointment today, I went on about a 30-minute tirade about how everyone in the world is stupid. And that is why they show you the flashback 3 minutes later, because everyone in the world is stupid.
I think that's my problem, is I want it to be like, I want to accept it for myself. You know what I mean? I want to have... And I also like watching things again. I like going back to watch a movie the second time, especially if it has some sort of twist in it, so I can look for the little things like, you know...
Very rarely does that happen anymore in movies. What? That a director will actually let you think about what it was about after the movie.
David Lynch makes one movie every 3 or 4 years.
Can I just point out to you that, and I'm not going to spoil anything, so don't worry about it, anybody, but at the end of this season's episode, and I know it's not a movie, it's a TV show, of Dexter, as soon as the show ended and I got to the finale and everything happened, I was like, holy crap, I rewinded, around about, whatever, 10, 15 minutes to watch the whole ending of the show again, totally bugged out. Then after the show... They sat down with the two stars of the show, and it was what's that guy's name? It's not Anthony Michael Hall, but it's like Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall.
Okay.
And be careful about the other name if you... Okay, go ahead.
Well, you can't say that John Lithgow was in the show?
Spoiler alert.
What, that John Lithgow was in the show?
I'm just kidding, go ahead.
No, and him and John Lithgow, it was a sit-down discussion with them after the show, and the second line of the interview, he's like, I can't imagine that anybody would have watched that show as soon as it ended, didn't rewind it, and watched that ending again. And it was that type of thing, because they didn't do it, and they didn't make it as obvious that you needed to re-catch those things. They didn't do that rewind thing for you, and I love the idea of having to go back and watch it again.
Well, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, I didn't, because I had that ending ruined for me. But that's
when Chris says rewinding and stuff like that, it makes me think of a trend in the movie that I hate that people are doing now, is that they put stuff out of sequence, like the movies like a Pulp Fiction,
the whole Pulp Fiction thing,
rip-off.
Right, yeah.
Well, and it was done before Pulp Fiction. I mean, movies
sure,
were doing
sure,
it. But making, you know, the end of the movie in the beginning and then the middle at the end and then the beginning in the middle, do you know what I mean? That has been done and done and done, and it's been so
Who
stupid.
Who did it? Who's done it so much? You got your Pulp Fiction.
Got
you got
Memento.
You know what it is?
You got Carlito's Way did it.
Pulp Fiction and Goodfellas were probably the reason it got so popular, because Goodfellas begins with a scene from the middle of the movie.
some horror
with
movie.
No explanation of why. But now, and that's usually the thing. Usually, and I guess with the thing I was complaining about, it's because of the Sixth Sense, because of the twist ending. They go back and show you why you should have known this, and you know the same thing. I guess if there's a big movie that's popular, that's when the trend starts getting repeated over and over.
Another trend I cannot stand. The hot, nerdy girl in the movie takes her glasses off and puts down her hair and then automatically becomes the hot girl
of
the movie.
But wait, is that something that really happens in anything for real anymore?
I mean, all those John Hughes movies, you know.
No, Mary Stuart Masterson was kind of ugly.
John Hughes hasn't made a movie in like 168 years.
He's also
years.
Dead.
He's dead, yeah.
Nice, Fred.
Sorry to bring up.
But, you know what? The best I ever saw of that was in that movie, Not Another Teen Movie. It was the best mocking of that when he says something like he's by, it's like a bet, like who he's gonna like turn into a prom queen, and he's bypassing all like Siamese twins and like all these like really like crazy looking girls, and then he's like, no, not her, she's got glasses and a ponytail.
She's the hottest thing
I
ever.
I think Rachel Lee Cook was probably sealed at that movie she was in with Freddie Prinze, where she had big glasses on, and he was like, oh, I can't do that, she's a monster.
It's horrible. Horrible.
What about a really horrendous performance ruining a movie you like?
Oh, an acting performance?
There's a movie called Party Monster.
Yes.
Which I really liked.
Oh, my God.
Macaulay Culkin
is the worst piece of
turns
garbage.
In the worst performance, acting performance in history.
He plays a homosexual.
He plays Michael Ali, who's a real person.
Yeah.
It's by far the worst performance. But Marilyn Manson is in the movie and is much better than him. It's unwatchable.
I would think that Marilyn Manson's a good actor, though.
And guess what? That kid Fez from that 70s show, the Vulder Wilmarama or something like that, didn't do a good performance.
We call him Handy Manny, just so you know. That's the proper name for him.
But he didn't make the movie unwatchable. Even no. Seth Green and that guy look like Oscar-winning actors compared to Macaulay Culkin.
Wait, so the trend that you guys have a problem with is bad actors? That's the trend? Well, come on.
It's a really good movie. Yeah, it's a trend.
Guess that's what? Not a trend. That's just you don't like movies with bad actors.
No, there's a trend in movies lately that the movie will be good, but there will be at least one bad acting role.
I think that defies time. I don't think that that's a trend. I think that you're always going to have bad performances in great movies. You're always going to have that for your entire life.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I know it. Name I know one. It more than anyone.
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch movies. I'm not a big fan of television or movies.
You know what I'm having a problem with? And it's probably just a little, it's my ego or just I have an issue with it not itself being a bad movie. But the big star who insists on directing his film, starring himself. Like, it's not a big enough ego check that you're really an actor.
Steven Seagal done that a couple of times. Jean-Claude Van Damme as well.
You're going to write and direct your own thing, but you're also going to write your own part into it as being the starring role. It's like, are you also going to watch it and do the soundtrack?
but you got to think that if a guy is writing a movie being egocentric, he's probably thinking of himself as that main character as he's writing it.
But I mean, as an actor, you kind of – I understand you've got a huge entourage of people yesing you all the time, saying how smart and how much of a genius you are. But you must realize that you're just reading other people's words.
If you're an actor writing a movie, I expect you to do that. If you're a writer – that is becoming an actor, then it's a little bit different. But if you're an actor first and you write your first movie, I think it's going to be natural for you to write it
and
with yourself.
And film it?
I think it's going to be natural for you to write it for yourself. That way. If you were an actor first, I'm not saying it's a good decision, but I think it's going to be a natural. Like you brought up Jean-Claude Van Damme. I think that if Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's not going to write a movie and put himself as a bit part.
How about you as in your very first director role, having really no genuine knowledge about how to direct a film, try to actually direct the film instead of trying to be the star and direct it while you're in front of the camera.
Clint Eastwood did a fine job of it.
The only person I thought did a fine job, Orson Welles, is probably the only one I could think of.
Sitcoms do that a lot. Like, all of a sudden, you notice, like, third or fourth season in, the sitcom star is suddenly directing
the
show.
Executive producer and all, everything.
Like I said,
else.
There's plenty of movies.
Eddie Murphy in Harlem Nights, horrible. He directed it.
That's a great example. There's plenty of movies that are actually good, but there's something irritating about that when I find out that a director is starring in his directed movie. It makes me angry that guy.
That sort of reminds me, this isn't really a trend in a movie, but this reminds me of, I saw that Emma Thompson won an Academy Award for writing the screenplay to Sense and Sensibility, I think. And I was just kind of like, can you let someone else have 5 minutes of glory? Can you let some schmo sitting in his like roach-infested apartment in L.A. trying desperately to write a script maybe do that?
P.S. She's adapting a well-worn novel that she's basically just typing. at that point.
Like, and can maybe the Oscar people look past her? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I think when, like, Frasier does a voiceover commercial for, like, Hyundai. And I'm thinking, why is Frasier getting this work? And
well, you should leave Frasier alone because I have a special place in my heart for that show. But, yeah, I always complain about, like celebrities doing radio shows and stuff like that.
Did you see that clip on the Oscars when she was when they gave her the nod for being the writer of that movie? They showed her in front of a laptop computer actually typing.
Really?
Stephen
J. Cannell style?
Freaking puncher.
Another thing that really annoys the hell out of me, a lot of movies, I was watching this movie, He's Just Not That Into You, and the way they introduced Drew Barrymore in it, the way they introduced Leonard Nimoy onto the show Fringe, and there was a really bad, there was a movie with Dan Aykroyd, it was Christmas with the Cranks. It's a stupid movie, it's a bad movie, but in it, all three of these things have the same thing. When they introduce this person onto the screen, like Dan Aykroyd has his camera to the back and then he turns around and it's like, oh, that's Dan Aykroyd. And Leonard Nimoy, it's the same thing. The camera rises up. Oh, it's Leonard Nimoy. And you get the point. It's kind of like
I like things like that if you don't know that the person is in the movie show or anything, if it's a surprise.
But even so, I have a problem with the directorial style of the movie or the cinematography having anything to do with the level of stardom of the person in the movie. Like, I don't think that Drew Barrymore should get a special camera angle to show, oh, look, everybody, it's Drew Barrymore, more so than some actress from, like, whatever, a no-name actress or something.
It's funny.
That's being a purist about the story as opposed to it being a movie-making thing. Yeah, I guess.
I'm very pure.
I'm sorry. I love the fact that I had no idea in Dogma all of a sudden when God turns – well, I'm not going to say it. But when God turns out to be who God is and that person shows up on the screen, like, wait, what? I was into that.
I heard you, into that for the reasons that Keith has mentioned exactly that. It was like – first of all, I thought it was a horrible casting mistake because I hate that person and the role that she's playing. But also just the fact that they over-dramatized. They made it so big and so glorious and such an important part of the...
She, you said God.
Yeah, well, exactly. I didn't want to go that far into it.
Sorry.
I tell you, what I...
Spoiler alert.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that that particular one. Tops of my list of played-out movie cliches is Drew Barrymore at this point. Just anything with Drew Barrymore
trying
in
to speak. Trying desperately to speak that voice of hers that just can't reach the
right
microphone.
I'm going to tell you, honestly, the thing that I hate the most about Donnie Darko is Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
She is the worst.
She almost killed that movie.
Acting,
see?
Terrible is thing in that movie. She is awful.
She ran her course at least a decade ago, right? Like, she was good in E.T., I think. And that's pretty much it.
Charlie's Angels Full Throttle? Come on, man. I'll tell you what trend I hate. The handheld camera thing that goes on now. That Blair Witch Project thing that's all over the place. I get sick.
Blair Witch.
Cloverfield.
What else?
Paranormal Activity, District 9.
Oh, yeah.
District 9 did it? Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen District 9, I totally forgot.
It's usually in that genre. It's like sci-fi horror movies.
Yeah.
Really? It's District horrible. 9 just came out.
No, I saw it a while ago.
All right.
That thing on the islands where they got eaten up.
The island.
The ruins, it's called, I think.
Yeah, it's not even a movie. That doesn't even exist any place on
the
my
ruins.
World.
It's in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Was that a hand? I didn't even bother looking at one. Yeah. That's another one of those, like, torture fetish movies, which I think is also another cliche that's gone. We should be done with that. The hostels, all those things should be.
I think you are done with it at this point, though. Like,
does anyone watch them? Someone must be watching.
Future and aspiring serial killers, I think.
Isn't sort of that Inglourious Basterds, not having seen it, isn't that sort of one of those movies?
Nope, not at all.
Oh, right, okay.
Please stop talking about it. Please stop talking about
it. Oh, you want to know an awesome secret about that movie? I've seen it.
I got another one. Vampires. Enough with the freaking vampires.
Yeah,
stop having things about vampires.
But if people
even
like
good
it.
Even good crap.
But if people like it. Well, who cares?
Vampires were done a long time ago.
People
and
like Drew Barrymore,
came,
too. She should be
they
shot.
They came back strong suddenly.
You know what it is? Teenagers. Which is another thing. Enough with the teen movies.
You've had enough of kids existing?
Just teenagers. Just all those stupid teenager movies.
Oh,
that are just
Our buddy Entropy throws it out in the Heroes Talk chat
wow,
room.
Entropy.
Remakes. The concept of remakes is the worst thing
that's
in the world.
Like ridiculous
for some
now.
Reason, I don't understand why anybody on the planet can't just write a new story. Why do you have to just do a movie that somebody else did 20 years ago, 10 years ago? TV shows are now movies.
V now is coming out again.
Another thing, going back to the poor schmuck sitting in his roach-infested apartment in L.A. trying to write an original screenplay. And
if he would have
wrote
The Honeymooners over again, it would have been sick.
This year, Jake and the Fat Man, I'm looking so forward to that.
Oh, man, I would love that. Or Riptide. Those were the two that I would enjoy.
Remington Steel, Heart to Heart, they're all coming out.
Although I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to say that I'm not remotely. I'm a little bit interested in seeing the new Clash of the Titans when it comes out. I'm a little bit interested.
New Magnum P.I.? You're not interested in that?
I had no idea it was happening.
It's not?
Oh, man.
Is Harry Hamlin in the new Clash of the Titans?
I think it is. But it's called the old Clash of the Titans. It's awesome.
I got one that might anger some people right at this table. Musicals. In particular, the musicals that come from Broadway, and yes, I include Rent in that, like, horrible, trashy amount.
How's that a trend?
Just Mamma Mia and
the
like,
plays
all the,
that become
all
movies.
The stupid, all the, what was the one that was actually a movie, and then they turned it into a musical, and
the
then
producers?
They remade
producers.
It as a movie?
The
well, that's, okay, that's another one, but I was talking about the one directed by the guy with the thin mustache, Pink Flamingo, John Waters.
Oh, Hairspray, yeah.
There. Like, all of those. Just anything that used to be on Broadway that's now on.
Well, I also tie that in with the remake thing. You know, it's like, but I like Rent, but I mean, yeah, I can see your point. Because normally they're garbage, you know. Rent just happens
little
to be
Little Shop of Horrors?
In the last
like
2 years, they've been flooded with like.
Yeah, where? I'm saying, I'm not seeing these, I'm not seeing that as a trend.
I guess I only
what?
Came up with
Chicago.
Four or five, but there's tons more.
I mean, Chicago. Okay.
Chicago.
Hairspray.
Rent. Hairspray.
Rent came out like 17 years ago.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors came out 120 years ago.
I mean, yes.
Cats wasn't ever made.
I think that's
great. Godspell.
Yes, that's great, but there's...
The Sound of Music.
Sound of Music, yeah, come on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
West Side Story.
If you could cite nine things happening in the history of cinema, it doesn't qualify as a trend. I'm sorry.
In the past couple of years, there's been a bunch of them. I can't remember.
Mamma Mia, Chicago.
Okay, Mamma Mia, Chicago producers. Okay, you got three. That does not qualify as a trend.
And the Hairspray thing and Xanadu.
Xanadu?
Oh, no, wait, that went backwards. They made the Broadway play out of the movie, which is almost just as bad.
Tommy.
That's one. You know what? This isn't related to movies, really. Well, it is in a way, but Broadway plays based on movies. Yeah. That kind of drives me crazy. And I don't go to the theater. I'll never afford that. But like, The Wedding Singer needed to be a Broadway show.
<I'm sorry. laughs> We should have went
Stephen
to see
Lynch,
that.
Though.
Really? Oh, he starred in that? Oh, God.
Apparently he did. I didn't see it. I'm sure it was terrific.
And one last one, unless you guys have more, but one last one.
The bad guy not being dead at the end is mine.
There was, for some reason, there was in the movie Funny People and in the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney, and there was another one from this year, I can't remember. For some reason, all of a sudden, the celebrity performing at the corporate party has become something that gets into movies in like an odd, wasted scene. Like, it's James Taylor in Funny People, it's Young MC. In
you said celebrities. I haven't heard one yet.
But I don't understand this whole thing of like, hey, let's write in a scene
Tone
where somebody
Loke.
Performs at a corporate party. It's just so odd. It's kind of like, I guess the trend is people
Billy
not having
Idol
original
and
ideas.
The Wedding Singer.
Yes, exactly. Performing on the plane.
How about those stupid parody movies? Like the Scary Movies and
well, there's
and
one,
what are all those?
We've discussed in the past, there's one specific pair of screenwriters with 20th Century Fox that put out like epic
the
Wayans movie,
Brothers?
Date movie, the
disaster movie,
yeah, romantic
all
movie.
I think they're all the same in my opinion.
But
you're saying there's.
I was saying, weren't the Wayans Brothers the first guys that did that, though?
Because the Wayans Brothers started that, and I kind of thought Not Another Teen Movie was funny, but these specific ones, they were coming out every 6 months. They were really, really. I mean, they were beyond bad. Those movies are stupid anyway, but these were ridiculous. Watch Date Movie and try to last for 5 minutes.
I can't imagine that. I would even try, though. That's fine. I'm sure that some kids loved it, and it was good for them.
Well, because. Well, trends happen because it makes the money for some reason, right? The movie industry aren't doing these trends for nothing.
You know what makes no money?
Us.
Best in Show Radio.
Absolutely.
Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. Here on Heroes Talk. Holla. What, you don't like hip hop?
That trend.
Is this supposed to be a commercial playing?
Yeah.
I don't hear it.
This is Germ Freak. of the DJ New Style Show, broadcast live every Tuesday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time on HearsTalk.com. That's HearsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is It Gay?
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that part of the show where Germ Freak forgets how to be a heterosexual and has a list of things that he might want to do, might want to be a part of, and might be gay.
Is it gay to hold a door open for another man?
Yeah, I think it could be a little gay, though. My thing of it is, if you hold it for somebody, it's almost like you're trying to make that person gay. It's like you're saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, go in. I'm the man. Go in. What's next, Frank?
All right. Is it gay to ask another man to sing a little bit of a song that he's trying to tell you about because you can't recall which one it is?
So he has a song in his mind, and the only way he can convey what the song is by singing. He's like, hey, Frank, you know that song? Must have been love.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It's awful.
Frank, what's next?
Is it gay for a guy to mail another guy a birthday card?
Absolutely gay. I think it's almost it's borderline gay to wish a guy happy birthday. Borderline gay.
Wait a second. You're saying you feel a little queer wishing another guy a happy birthday?
It's borderline gay. It's approaching gay. It's friendly, but you're getting there. I mean, you have to know the person.
The DJ New Style Show is broadcast live from New Jersey every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be! You could also hear it in the Hear Us Talk radio chat room on Pow Talk. The DJ New Style Show is proud to be part of the Hear Us Talk radio network. Thank you.
Have something you want to share with the rest of us? Can't make it into the Hear Us Talk chat room for your favorite shows, but still want to share your opinion? Then come hang out at the Hear Us Talk Radio Forum. The forum is the place to catch up with the latest news and discussions on your favorite Hear Us Talk radio shows, plus with additional categories covering the things you see, hear, taste, love, hate, and everything else. You can click and make the entire Hear Us Talk listening family know that you are right about everything, or at least die trying. Check out the Hear Us Talk forum at hearustalk.com/forum and let everyone know what you have to say.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to Best in Show Radio on the Hut for 2010.
On the Hut!
You know, 2009 was a great year. 2009 was a great year for Hear Us Talk Radio. It was a better year for ICU2. Hey, Chris, you know what ICU2 is?
Oh, my God, do I?
When I'm not listening to The Hut, I'm chatting with people all over the world on ICU2.com.
It's an amazing, amazing piece of software.
It is the original video chat software. They started it all, and of course that means they're the best.
How could you fight with the original?
How could you fight with the voters of 2009 that voted ICU2 the number one internet chat software, and they will again in 2010 and onwards and upwards, because ICU2 will never die.
It's the most amazing piece of software you can imagine. Within seconds, you're going to be talking to people all over this world. Just download it. Head over to ICU2.com. That's ICU2.com. Download it on a Windows machine. Talk to people all over the world. Video conference. It's amazing.
ICU2.com.
Come on.
Best in Show Radio.
No, I see you too. Sorry. I got a little crazy there.
It's Best in Show Radio on the Hut.
Yeah, I hate the Hut. I hate the Hut more than anything in the world. Even though I write HUT whenever I'm talking about Hear Us Talk, I hate the Hut more.
I'll never, from this point, my New Year's resolution, I will never call it anything other than the Hut at this, from this point forward. So if you wanna
what's the Hut?
It's the Hut. Spell it out. Sound it out, Fred. Spell out the word and then sound out the first three letters of each word. Well, the first letter of each of the three words.
Is that Heroes Talk? Is that what he's trying to do with the hut type of thing going on?
No, it's like into
he's
like...
He's making it hip?
He's like into like little thatched roof places to live in. That's all he cares about. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure if Booker was doing it, you guys would appreciate it more.
I appreciate everything Booker's ever done.
Speaking of 2009 coming to an end, I didn't even realize until like the middle of December that the first decade of the 21st century was coming to an end. It was kind of weird to me when somebody mentioned the decade being over, and I was like, wait a second, that's true. Because do you remember, and granted it was the end of a millennium even, but do you remember the end of a millennium? Is that right? Yeah. And do you remember at the end of 1999, it was a big deal, the best, you know, especially specifically for each decade, it's always a big deal, the best of the 80s, the best of the
90s. But 1999 to 2000 was a bit bigger than a decade, though,
but
although
even for
who
the,
really cared?
Even for the 80s, it was like, you know, the best. I remember 1989, the best of the 80s, the best of the 80s. I didn't really hear, and it's because people don't know what to call these years, the aughts.
The aughts, yeah.
Is that the problem? Nobody wants to say the best of the zeros?
I just don't think it really makes a difference. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, like, if you want to go back to the 80s, you really like, have this big thing between the difference between, like, 89 into 90 and versus, like, 91 into 92. Is that a big deal for you? Maybe it's because of the age. To me, that's all, like, high school years to me, so it didn't make a difference.
I moved to Staten Island in 1990, so it's sort of a – there's a sort of a clear marker there for
but
me.
There's something else that's doing it for you. It wasn't, like, the decade thing. Fred, am I crazy? Do you care about the end of decades?
Hell no.
But I'm not decades. Talking about. But I'm not talking about us caring as people. I'm saying like the media
the
usually makes a bigger deal of the top things of the decade, and I didn't hear it nearly as much. I feel like this time around.
I guess. I mean, my problem, I guess, is the fact that I just don't pay a lot of attention to the media. If it's not, you know, if it's not kids' TV or the internet, I'm not really paying attention to it.
Best Backyardigans moment of the decade.
Oh,
you didn't
my
hear
God,
that?
It was great. It was the greatest.
I tell you, I hate it writing checks and stuff. I know I probably wrote a couple of checks like 09 for this month's bills. Definitely, like that first paycheck period, I cannot. I just don't remember. Like, why does the years have to change? Why can't we just be in like where you're life? This is life. That's it.
You want it to be so? There's going to be no dates, no time, no anything.
No, just years. It can still be January 7th.
It can still be
life.
January 7th. Life.
Yeah,
that's it.
It doesn't make a difference how old you are then.
No.
Okay. I'm not fighting you. I'm just asking.
Absolutely not.
Let's compromise.
Don't hit me.
Let's compromise. How about January 7th, 2000?
Life.
January 7th, 2010. Life.
No.
So we have 2010 to signify the difference.
You're bogging him down with that number that he can't be a part of.
The pot bogs him down.
Well, I guess.
Why
he just wants to have, like, he just wants to be, like, indiscriminate.
When I do the bills, I want to write the date and then life at the end of it. That's all, that I'm still alive.
The problem is the fact that you're effing up, is that you're writing 2009 still on everything and you get mad on checks that you're supposed to write 2010. That's what this comes down to, right?
Well, yeah, in 99 into 2000 was the worst because I was like, oh, my God, now we got to write four numbers. Four-month numbers are different. I was used to writing, you know.
That was annoying. That's annoying when you're filling out forms. Now, like, now all of a sudden you have to fill in, like, the four-digit year instead of the two-digit year. I don't have time for that. That's doubled the amount of time I took to write the year.
Keith, you down with my life thing now?
I think so.
See, life is just so much better, man. Who cares about the year?
I'm not really down with your life.
Not my life. No. And I'm certainly not down with yours.
But your life idea, I think, is good.
Bon Jovi told us all that it's my life, and it's now or never. I'm saying that I don't think it's – I think it's crazy to feel like you're not going to have something to age things.
Now, is the decade starting this year or next year? Is that what do you guys think about that that thing?
You're thinking that 10 is the highest number, so 1 to 10 is the decade, not 0 to 9?
When did the aughts start?
January 1st, 2001, obviously.
Yeah.
In Fred's world.
2000, clearly. Like the 90s started when?
1990.
Right.
Okay.
So it would be
0 through 9.
I think what you're thinking of only counts if you're talking about millenniums.
I can't believe I'm tutoring the teacher,
because
basic math.
Because technically 2000 should have been not 2001.
2000.
Right, 2001 should have began it, but you know, we'll put an asterisk
that's
next
silly.
To it for you.
That's not true. That's you guys are just confused. The millennium started in 2000.
Well, technically, though, 2000 was the 2000th year. So in the 2001st year is when the new millennium technically should start, but it doesn't.
That's if you call year one, year one.
Because, yeah, you didn't call year 1-0.
Maybe there was a 0 year. You never know.
I do.
Were you there?
Absolutely.
It was one.
Was. No, yeah, exactly. The first year was one. I'm with you. I'm with Fred. The decade starts next year.
So I don't even have to complain that I still have another year to worry about the decade?
Hell yeah.
I say there was a year zero, and we just eat it.
If these idiots...
You really think that in the year zero, they were writing... Zero. Jesus was writing on his checks.
They didn't start writing. I mean, they weren't so writing easy. the years hundreds of years later. Yes, exactly.
So Jesus wrote on his checks January 1st, zero.
Come on.
Why
do you have to go there? You know he was a baby.
He paid with cash, by the way. He's Jesus, for God's sakes.
Sorry.
If those idiots that
ATM
were,
card only,
if those
idiots
that were first born just said life, that would have been, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
There should just be a new month every 30 days, and you can't reuse the old name.
How do you have New Year's then? Because then you wouldn't have a New Year. Just
January
like,
January 1st, life is always New Year.
But what's the year?
Who cares? It's January
it's
1st.
Not a new year.
It's life.
It's
we're alive.
It's not a new life.
It's not a new life.
Hey,
it's the
January 1st, new life. Yay!
No. Yep. It's a better life. The life that you know,
I love playing
yourself.
Better Life on my computer. It's like you get to go like the concerts that people are throwing at the virtual clubs. Awesome.
To Keith's argument, there's always been, I mean, it's definitely a forced manufacturing, but there's always been a capacity for us to look back at a certain clump of decades and be able to define it. When I talk about the 80s, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
1981 through 1990.
Yes,
That's exactly what you were talking about.
Well, whatever. I mean, now you're arguing semantics. But I mean the technology, the subculture, like all the stuff that happened around that decade, carried through with a very definite definition of the 90s. I think what Keith is saying is that there doesn't seem to be one here for the 00s.
91 to 2000.
Keith, why don't you change that right now? Why don't we celebrate the aughts right now? Here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the finest program that's on right now.
Hut.
On the hot.
How about the best moments of the aughts?
The best moments of the aughts? I'm with it. Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Keith, what do you got?
Well, I'm not going to go in any sort of order.
So this is like, it's not like a list or a top 10. You're just calling out randomly 10 fantastic things that have happened in the aughts that you care about.
I will say that my engagement is definitely by far the best. And you can cue the violins behind me, but I do believe that. I believe that. That is number one. Number two, behind my engagement in this non-listed number. No, my engagement is number one, and everything after this is just random.
Good choice.
Wait a second. She still listens to this show?
Jackasses.
Asses. Where'd the plural come in? It was all French.
Jackasses.
Oh, right.
Best in show at certain times is definitely a highlight of the decade for me.
Wait, you can't say the top of the decade is like an entire 213 episodes, now 13 and a half episodes of a program. You can't isolate it to something more than that? I'm just mad because you just took one off my list. That's the main reason I'm annoyed.
Well, do I have to? All right, so the day I got engaged is number one.
Yeah.
The day she agreed. Number two is...
Which time?
Best in show number one. The first best in show when Brian was far, far away from the show. Okay. Number three on my list, written on a paper towel, which in this this non-labeled list, which I can't read, so I'm going to skip to number four.
Number three is botched ink. Like messed up ink on a pad, I think was one of the best moments of 2000 whatever.
Number four was the Night of 100 Podcasts.
Damn it, you're taking my whole list.
Well, you told me to go first.
I know, but I'm mad.
We have two matching tattoos. You think there's not going to be some crossover on our lists?
If the birth of my daughter is on your list, I'm going to be so annoyed. I'm going to be really annoyed at you.
I also have I have the Brown Lodge on here because that was the first internet radio show that I ever did, and I liked doing that show.
That so happened in the aughts?
That happened?
I thought that happened in the 80s.
What was this other one here? I can't read. Yeah, I don't know. I think you may have to come back to my list because I have something here. I don't know what it said.
I'm kind of screwed, man. You basically just gave my whole list, except for the birth of my daughter thing.
Well, what's your list?
Oh, mine has seeing across the universe once, so I know I never have to watch it again.
That's pretty good.
Because I know it's the worst movie ever made.
Unfortunately, on my list, I got a little confused with the years at first and everything, and the decades, as we're prone to do here, not knowing what decade exactly it is. I actually had getting tomato on my cream cheese bagel this morning, not realizing that this is the next decade, so I'm going to have to cross that
maybe it's not, though. It depends on the argument.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think, all right, so it's still in there then. No, I obviously, I said that, you know, basically everything that you did. Decided to do talk radio with Keith, actually, is what I said. Not so much Best in Show as decided to do talk radio with Keith. So
thanks.
So I included Best in Show and
left out the annoying parts.
What was that other show called?
Thanks.
The Brown Lodge. I included those in one line item together, which, don't get me wrong, I think doing it with Brian and Fred are terrific too, but I'm saying the standout moment is deciding that we were going to start
doing Thursday on Sunday?
No, that one sucked. That one sucked. It was awful. Didn't even make it to 10 episodes. But, deciding to do the whole talk radio thing with Keith, I think was probably my favorite thing of the decade other than the birth of my daughter. Night of 100 podcast, decided to do that. Being sort of a vegetarian, I have listed as the best health decision I made of the decade. You don't think that was kind of good?
That is good.
Yeah. I'm not going to bother listing the best terrorist attack of the decade because I think that one shouldn't be mentioned. Oh, it's, you know, that's obvious which one that was.
Spain affected an election.
Obviously.
Never forget.
The best quitting of a producer of the decade was definitely Rob from Best in Show. That was a thing. We should get Rob on the line. We should actually have him be part of this, get him involved here, because he was involved in the decade of Best in Show with us.
Let me see what I can do.
Please do. Yeah, I don't. That's basically it. Like I said, Keith List plus my daughter.
I have some. My faves of the decade. Meeting Keith.
Again.
In 1996.
For the third decade in a row.
Joining Best in Show Radio.
Yes.
I do enjoy it.
Being in the Wahoo Skiffle Crazy so you can be on the newspaper cover.
All the time. Lifetime membership to that band.
Buying an apartment.
Well, that was very nice of you. Nice of you.
Meeting and marrying my wife, of course. And the number one.
I applaud that one, Fred.
The number one moment of the decade. Chris Havening as a little girl.
Oh, thank you. That was the most beautiful thing. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. That's really true.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome.
I really appreciate that.
It's beautiful. Okay.
Brian, did you write down something?
Yeah, I got a couple of things that were very important to me in the aughts, which, by the way, it's killing me.
That's worse than hot.
At the
Are any one of them getting Rob on the line or not yet?
Maybe. We'll see. But getting the phone to work, I think, is going to
be next decade. Let me just cut in here. You're listening to Best in Show Radio on the Hut, 877-744-6405. If you want to join us, Brian.
Oh, by the way, I didn't.
Time and temperature.
You did say the Hut.
947. 32 degrees.
Number two on my list was having that conversation with Ken, DJ Newstyle, a couple years back and deciding to start Heroes Talk was on my list. I forgot to mention that one.
What about when we had the Hutch on the Hut?
Oh, man, that was great. Hut Hutchin. Well, Hutch Hutchinson.
As you might be able to guess, nothing about any of the radio shows made my list at all. For any of the aughts.
Not even the Night of 100 podcast?
Not even the Night of 100 podcast.
Being on XM and tens of thousands of people hearing our crappy show didn't approach being anywhere near important for you.
Yeah, it was an important day. It didn't make the list.
Okay, all right.
A big thing for me was it marks me. I'll look back at it as the that's the time. That's when I moved back east. When I came back from, like, the West Coast. It was a big deal. It was a big deal.
Bunny Knuckles is suggesting video games. It's going to be one of Brian's.
I call that reverse gold rush, just so you know. That's what I call Brian's number nine.
Well, along with that is, like, a second thing. I kind of I went cold turkey on music.
The bronze rush. Okay. That's what it was.
I went cold turkey on music. I used to be very obsessed by, like, record shopping constantly, and I was...
Hold on. You can't have gone cold turkey on music. That would mean you don't listen to music at all. You can't go cold turkey.
I went out of my way to find out where the record stores were so I could walk around them, not pass them by, so I wouldn't go to them. I canceled all my subscriptions to music magazines. I stopped listening to radio. I stopped searching out.
Okay.
I went out of my way.
You went cold turkey on... purchasing new music. It's
and
not the same.
Listening to new music.
Stop.
Everything.
New music. Okay, that's not going cold turkey on music.
Right. Brian,
it's a little bit different.
Brian complained about purchasing a brand new Animal Collective album and not getting
Wait
some
a
sort
minute.
Of download
right.
like a year ago.
I know. I'm chasing the dragon. I'm going back. Every once in a while, I drop
See, that should be a number
in
one.
In other words, you lied. You just did Fred's lie of the week right there.
Look, I'm not so good at quitting. I'm just not a quitter is what it really comes down to. But that said, I had to fill up the void with something, and I will say, was it Bunny Knuckles who mentioned video games?
Indeed
He's right.
Was.
I came back to video games after like a good, at least a decade of being away from them.
By the way, I just want to mention Bunny Knuckles, honorable mention, almost the champion of the Heroes Talk Football League, if not for Keith soundly thrashing him.
Oh, that should have been in my top. Oh, that wasn't this decade. That was this decade.
No, that was a week ago, right?
Right. That's this decade.
It was after the first. Was the finals? Yeah, I guess it was like the third was when it ended. Okay.
A bunch of important things happened in the decade, like the terrorism finally like making it here to American soil, and like the first black president, and like the watching the slow collapse of our like economic system.
Wait! So you now equate the first black president and terrorism as being two of the best things of the decade?
Well, they're in there. They're important. They're an important part of the decade.
Noteworthy.
They're number
items.
Four underneath me getting back to video games and quitting music and stuff.
Okay, I thought it was you were equally excited about both.
I needed them to be mentioned because they're an important part of our decade. And the last one is probably I think I'm with Freeman and Chris when Rob quit the show.
Nice.
Wow. I want to see what he says about that. I'm gonna give him a call and see if.
For the record, I said that was my favorite producer quitting the show because you haven't quit yet. That's the only thing.
Moment.
Not a favorite moment by any means.
By the way,
what?
On the hottest of all lines, who's this?
Who is it? Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on bestinshowbestinshowradio.com.
Oh boy, the phones sound lovely, fellas. Let me tell you.
Oh my God, it's the best producer in the history of the decade of Best in Show. It's our buddy Rob Giggs. What's going on, buddy?
Going on, fellas.
Hanging out, chilling,
banging and whatnot.
Indeed.
See, by the way, he opened up the conversation with a dig about the phone lines.
Brian's grandfather just called. He said the two best things of the last century were Jackie Robinson breaking the color line and all the people that died in World War II.
You're telling me the terrorist attack on America was not an important part of
No, I just laughed at the fact that you put them both equally as like one positive thing and one like...
We didn't talk that there were positive things. We talked about memorable moments of the decade.
Noteworthy. I'll be honest. I mentioned it. I jokingly said best terrorist attack of the decade is what I was thinking when I said it. But it's obviously making a joke. But yeah, it's got to be something it's got to probably mark one of the biggest moments of your life, I'm sure.
And it wasn't all bad.
I was told to do the best of the decade.
That devil face in the clouds, I guess, right? That was huge.
I was told to do the best of the decade. Now I have to go back and adjust my list.
So, Rob, how was your New Year's, man? Do you have any New Year's best of the New
How was
Year's?
Your decade?
Well, you guys were definitely part of my decade, that's for sure.
How was your decade?
My deck.
Really?
Well, let me see. I didn't have time to prep this with show prep because I don't get show prep anymore.
So lucky.
But
neither do we.
You do as much as us.
But, I mean, my whole family, starting my family in the last 10 years was definitely, I guess, my highest point.
Wait, your entire, your whole family, you've only been with your wife for under 10 years? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, no, it's 7 years.
I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys have, I don't know why, it just feels like you've, you seem like an old married couple to me. You don't seem like you're less than 10 years married. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, it's 7, actually be 8 years. So, that was definitely a big time. Best in Show Radio, let me see. Well, before Best in Show Radio, Pal Talk, I had a pretty extensive run on Pal Talk for a while. And that was pretty wild. It was definitely opened up the whole voyeuristic leading into radio show type of, hobby, channel. So
discovering Pal Talk you're going to put on your best of the decade thing or getting involved in the community?
I would. I mean, that pretty much, that definitely started my whole internet radio, actually talk radio in general, talk radio, internet radio, checking out DJ New Style, getting involved with Best in Show, producing, and so on. Oh my so God, I'd definitely say Pal Talk.
I never thought I'd say it. I miss it so much.
But the other a real big highlight actually of if I had to name one instance of Best in Show, I would I would probably have to say go with the first Labor Day barbecue event, which was pretty wild. setting it. Well, even for me to get it set up, and yeah, the first one, just having a whole bunch of live listeners and
that was really
setting
like,
everything up outdoors.
That fake tans.
I was gonna say that was really like your baptism into joining Best in Show really full on. Like that's like really how you came into this thing really hardcore. I mean you'd been there already, but it was like that was like the real like baptism by fire into the whole
thing. And that was his like for what this means to certain people, his U2 at Live Aid moment, like, or his Santana at Woodstock moment, like his big.
I swear to God, I didn't know U2 played Live Aid. I had no idea.
That's why I said to certain people. That was his big, that was Rob, because I think we panicked a little because he had just started producing the show. And then now he had to do this big, like, basically remote event, and I'm still impressed with how well he handled it.
It was trial by fire, and he pulled it off. He also was introduced to our toxic psyches in the largest possible way imaginable that quickly. Like just seeing us at our worst, at our most drunken, like most irresponsible, most just it must have been a handful. We must have been a handful to have to deal with.
Speak for yourself.
I must have been drunk. I'm sorry, Rob.
Fred left 5 minutes after the show, so he doesn't count.
5 minutes before it ended, I think. Anything else, Rob? Any other moments of the decade?
It's really, you know, job career wise, that recently has just changed for me the end of this year. I guess the new job, at the end of June, July, of last year really kind of capsulized the whole decade.
Hey, Rob,
for me,
Rob, how about the DeLorean doors in your four door, sports car?
My Lambo doors on my Charger? Yeah. Well,
what are you guys talking about?
I guess I'm having a midlife crisis. Could it be possible that I'm having a midlife crisis?
Well, let me tell everybody in the audience. Rob has a four-door sports car. He has a Charger, a Dodge Charger. It's four doors, and they open regular ways. So then Rob thinks, oh, you know what? Like he said, maybe I'm going through a little midlife crisis. Maybe let's get these doors changed. And now the doors open up like a Lamborghini or a like almost like a...
Like he's got a flex capacitor in the back.
Yeah, well, not like a DeLorean, definitely. Like sideways.
Wait,
but
you've seen this vehicle?
Oh, I have.
They Ryan, open vertically?
They open up. They open straight up. They come out a little and open straight up in this economy.
And that's just the icing on the cake. Like he's blinged out, for using a word that I just absolutely hate. He has blinged the hell out of this car. Like he's this close from putting like switches on it and having it bob up and down like the Mexicans in Southern California.
No.
From the bottom of my heart, I am blown away right now. I don't understand what would be the functionality of getting this done. That's crazy. This is officially crazy.
It's more of a, you know what, it's like anything else in my life. I take something to the umph degree. I totally get myself encaptivated with it. And you know, that's what I did with this car. I started modifying it, and then it just,
Rob,
you know, from there it took off.
I would never think in a million years, hey, I'm going to make some modifications to my car. I need the doors to open up.
And Rob, is it all four doors? All four doors open that way?
Yeah, I'll post the link in a few moments.
Wait,
you guys to check out.
Wait, so your back door opens up for your kid to get in the car seat in the back, legitimately?
No, they open up normal too. They come out. You could open them out, and then they go. They can go up, so they don't need to. I don't have to throw them up.
It's very smooth. Like,
but I do.
Okay, so it's an option.
Yeah, but he does, of course.
When you want to impress, you open them up. When you want to not, you know, you open them right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. God bless you. It's something that you want to do, but it's. I don't think I have ever thought of a more frivolous modification. I would think you would put hydraulics on a car before you would do that any day of the week.
No.
I was waiting. That's the next thing I'm doing. I'll get my loads.
In the Hear Us Talk room, I'll paste the link that you can see what it's about, and I'll paste it in Pal Talk for you guys. And for the podcast listeners, we'll get it on the Hear Us Talk forum.
Yeah, apparently.
That's hearustalk.com/forum.
Yeah, or you can just go to radiobronzefans.com. Nice. Look, he's such a professional. By the way, URL removed. It's not linking for me for whatever reason.
I love that.
Oh, it's not linking. You got to... We could add the URL thing there. That's because, Brian, you didn't go ahead and say allow URLs when you were producing the show in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, thanks for thanks for calling, Rob.
No, the show's been really great, actually, at Brian's. I thought really you would have more tech problems, and this is minuscule, the little, you know, little things that pop up.
You're
so.
Too kind.
In other words, Brian, Brian, you only suck partially. You don't really totally suck.
You suck much better than I expected you to suck.
You suck tiny little wee-wees as opposed to a giant, giant wank. Awesome.
Seriously, I'm missing you. I'm really missing you, Rob. I wish you were here. My head's regularly exploding. Trying to wrangle these guys is one thing, but trying to figure out like how to make this thing work is it's beyond my capacity to do it. And keep sane. Please come back.
I want to. I'm going to pretend I was listening to Brian just now because I wasn't. I'm sorry, Brian. I hope that wasn't a question.
Speaking of what Brian just said, here's something totally different.
Rob actually sent me a text message on New Year's Eve, and it was a Happy New Year's text message, and I appreciated it, but my...
Wait a minute, I just got the Lamborghini pictures. Oh my God, this is ridiculous. This is actually his car. I thought he was going to send pictures of somebody else that had this. This is actually his vehicle.
He has shiny headlights too. Like in the dark, it like the lights are sort of bluish white. Like there's a word for it. There's a special word for the special headlights that he has.
Well, he does have custom leather wrapped awesome. Bezels and sitch plate with green stitching.
What?
Holy crap. I'm sorry, Keith. You were in the middle of something, but these pictures are absurd. You've got to get a tattoo of this.
It doesn't look like a machine. Like, it looks like a robot. Like a game.
Transformer.
It looks like I want to get inside of it and play it. Like,
this thing right there is a transformer with all four doors up at the same time. You should have a sound effect that come out of the car. That's what you need added to your horn. That's nuts. Sorry, Keith. I'll stop now.
No, okay.
I got to close this. I got to close this window because I will scream about this for 6 hours straight.
Rob sent me a text message on New Year's Eve, a Happy New Year text message, and I read it, and I appreciated it. And I responded to him. Basically, my response will tell the story. I responded to him, hey, that's pretty cool, but I have a feel. I mean, thank you, Happy New Year, but I have a feeling you just sent me a mass text message.
Yeah, you were one of the only ones that actually called it out. But,
I see later that day, Rob texted me, Rob called me right after that, but I missed the phone.
Well, what did the text message say?
It said something like, Rob, you don't have
here,
any...
Let me see if I can,
you got
tell
one
you exactly.
too, Bri?
I think I got precisely the same one, and I feel a little slighted because I thought this was a personal message to me.
I don't have it anymore, Brian, if you can go for it, or...
After careful consideration, I've decided to renew your friendship contract for 2010. I kind of like your dumbass, so don't F it up. Happy holidays. How many people was this sent to? How many people have
Am I sent to your
personal consideration to keep in
Rob, before you respond...
Probably good.
Before you respond, I went to the restroom there and heard, I'm hearing you guys talking, whatever, and wasn't, you know, really following and hearing everything that was happening. And then I hear Brian reciting the word-for-word text message that I received from Rob on New Year's Eve.
What?
That I responded personally to Rob with a heartfelt, genuine response because I thought this son of a bitch was writing something nice to me. Not that he sent it to a million people.
Guess what?
I thought the same thing.
Guess who didn't get the message? Me.
Oh,
what's up, Rob?
No.
You did get it, Keith? You got the same
Keith
one?
Got it too.
I got it, yeah.
That Brian did, just Fred didn't get it. Well, he doesn't
want to... Can you get text messages, Fred? I thought, you know, you had issues with that. Maybe. I don't know. Actually, you know what?
You know what? He didn't want to renew your subscription. That's it.
I did not renew your subscription.
It's in the mail, Fred.
But no, you know what? But Chris, I did reply back to you with a heartfelt message as well.
Right, I responded with a heartfelt response to him being shocked by the whole thing, and then like, you know, not being shocked, but being like, oh cool, it was a nice thing that he sent me, and then I wrote back to him, and then he's like, oh, now I gotta write to this guy individually on top of it.
Dude,
you know that's what he's thinking.
He tugged at my heartstrings as well, and I mean, I responded with a backhanded little snide remark or something.
Of course you did.
Like that, but
Rob,
still,
I hate you. Don't ever text me again. Don't text me at home.
Just kidding. But I guess, no, I was. If I felt,
I guess subconsciously, I feel like I'm a much better friend with Rob than either of you guys because I called it out immediately that it wasn't anything he would be writing to me personally, and that's why I immediately called out, oh, this is a mass text message.
Rob, do you not have my number anymore? Why did I get the text? Really, Rob, why did I get the text? I know you don't want to talk about it, but
Rob, can I ask you one thing? And if you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but
to be honest, Well, first to answer Fred's question there, you know what? I don't know, to be honest. I literally was going down everybody in my phone book, sending them out, because I didn't want to do a Happy New Year, like, text, like, sure. Hey, Happy New Year.
It's witty. It's a good thing. That was a good thing to send out. I would have liked to gotten it, though.
I would have rather not gotten it.
So, yeah, no, it was, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things, Brian. Brian, I called Fred Brian, geez.
Whatever your name is.
Rob. What,
incidental person that has no relevance in my life, so
yeah,
I don't even remember
your
name.
I got the text, Fred, all right? Let's just keep that clear.
Rob, you don't have to answer the name, but just answer yes or no. Was there any other member of the Hear Us Talk family that did get the text message?
Of the Hear Us Talk family?
Yeah.
I guarantee
I
two
have
people.
Passed it. I may have passed it along to...
Let's see where Fred ranks.
Jerp Freak said in the chat room that he got one.
I may have passed it along to Mr. Germ Freak, actually.
Rob was actually telling me he actually sent it to Solera's kid's classmate as well, in addition to this.
And, Rob, I probably have texted you more than Brian has since you've known us.
He sent it to Fred's student.
Germ Freak is saying in the chat room he got it. He got the same one. Wait, he got it on December 30th? Wait a minute, so we got it forwarded to us after Germ Freak got it the day before.
I got it the day before also. All right, Rob.
Actually,
you sons of bitches!
Well, you know what? Actually, you know what? I know exactly what happened, Fred. I got a new phone. Now it sounds like really bad excuse, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I got a new phone. I got a BlackBerry. And only people that called me, or I've spoken to, I've saved their number. I really didn't have anybody's number. I didn't transfer numbers over from my other device into this BlackBerry thing. I didn't know how to transfer from one to the other. And I did not, your phone number is in my old phone.
All right, I believe it.
So that's the reason. Oh, by the way, this just in, Rob's high school classmate that he hadn't spoke to since just said he got one on the 29th.
Thanks, Rob. Happy New Year.
So what's going on? So let's talk about Best in Show for a moment.
Please.
Let's talk about where Best in Show is in this new year. How about
that? Taking charge.
Do you like
a producer's role?
I love when
a
producer comes in, directs the show, makes things flow. Holy crap, do I miss it? I never thought I missed this, but I miss it. Yeah, so what about it?
Uh-oh.
I thought you were taking charge, Rob. What happened?
I thought he just hung up.
No, I did. I'm sorry. The phone's totally cut out, and I couldn't hear anybody. So, anyway, so let's see here. You know, where we left off, and everyone's still there, right? Correct?
Yes,
we are. No.
Okay. Where we left off is, you know, I had some studio space problems here as far as dedicating my house for a weekly show, and also my time became a problem. A whole bunch of things came into play as far as not being able to do Best in Show come the new year. Well, actually, even come into December.
But
so,
now that you have a DeLorean, now, you can go back in time, and we can come back to your show. They do it at your house. Awesome.
So now we're here. You know, Brian picked up the reins. It's currently at Brian's house, and you know, we had high hopes at one time to maybe to bring Best in Show to other levels. But then again, me personally would have problems with fulfilling those obligations, dedication. So.
I want to say, Rob, you just teased the hell out of me. I thought you were announcing that you were coming back to the show right there, and you just totally teased me, you
That's
son
what
of
a vice president does, Chris.
Well, it's really not that far off. It's, you know, things can happen. I think if locally, if you got back on Staten Island somewhere, there would be a better chance of that happening.
I got to come back to that crap hole. Get you
no,
back
no,
on
you
board.
Can stay here. You can stay in Brooklyn. We got Rob now. Don't worry about it.
But you know, and I'm a little intrigued as far as how long, you know, or if there has been any other conversations of maybe trying to move back to Staten Island, maybe trying to even at one point talking about doing a real radio gig, trying to get on the airwaves of Syracuse.
Well, Rob, let me ask you something about that. I'm glad you brought that up. You once said, and I've been wondering for a while, but we never discussed it. You once said. That if we ever did manage to land some sort of like Westchester at midnight on a Saturday gig, like somebody that would actually hire us, you said you wouldn't be a part of it. You would not go pro with us, as I call it.
Well, the way it went down was it was specifically stating maybe doing overnights on weekends, was it? Or
yes, that was exactly what it was.
It was week. It was like a two night spot.
Right.
Something
again,
like that.
Again,
same
this
weekend.
This is all just hypothetical. We're trying to figure out how we could somehow finagle some sort of horse crap job that somehow we could hornswoggle someone into paying.
Really, whatever the imaginary radio station that would hire us and keep us on jobs would, what they would tell us when to be there is really when we have to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. It's. I mean, but when you're having fantasy crazy talk, we're not going to say, hey, so when we get morning drive in New York in radio market number one.
Chris came up with this. Basically, he didn't want to say when he hooks up with Jessica Alba, so he settled for Rosie O'Donnell. I guess if that's an analogy.
Well, you know, we did start off saying I think weekends overnight type of radio. Being that, you know, if there was somebody that currently was employed, which is a quarter or I don't even know how many people are still employed. Is everyone still employed?
Fred and I are. Fred and I are.
Okay. Same old, same old.
Okay.
It's no comment.
You know, where you can do your daytime gig as well as doing an overnight weekend gig. And I was saying if I were to do, say, Friday night or into Saturday night, the next morning I'd be dead and shot for my family to do anything. So I forecasted that I would not have a family life, you know, it would really hinder my home life trying to juggle a full-time job. And
you listed on the top 10 moments of your decade
above your family.
On. Exactly. I thought you would jump at the chance.
And then, you know, if there was like a real gig, and then as far as, you know, going in entry level money and to give up a current job or Chris, your current job to have to do a morning drive or somewhere, wherever, that you'd have to quit your current job. I mean, to me, that's not realistic at this point to even digest. You said, you gotta crawl before you can run. And the crawling part seems like you really gotta put in a bazillion hours a week of current job and side job.
The corporate speak. You got to crawl before you run. I know. Dude, you know what it is? I guess it's when you're having the fantasy talk of, dude, we're going to have this thing. Why don't we? Oh, man, let's try and get jobs in radio. Let's try and do something with this. And then bringing it sort of back to reality with the idea of, yeah, that's not really going to be feasible for me. It kind of defeats the whole purpose of fantasy talk to me. And it seems almost like you're nipping it in the bud before you're ready to get things started.
Oh, it's like Rosie O'Donnell turns you down in your fantasy.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, the simple fact, the reason why we're having these conversations is because we were actually trying to envision, we were establishing a goal. Like, this is something that we can work for so that ultimately we can get to this point. And your answer to it was like, well, if that happens, I'm gone. Which it's a little, it's kind of like crippling to the. It's the reason why we haven't gotten our professional gig. You ruined it for us.
But can I ask honestly? Is it just because you were just thinking about it from a reasonable standpoint, or is it just that?
Oh, totally.
Or are you thinking that even if let's take the fantasy to the umpteenth level as you'd like to go, if it was something that paid you comparably to what you were doing now, or maybe a little less than what you were doing now, would it be something you'd consider, or you just don't think it's a realistic thing for you?
No, I would love it to be more than a hobby, you know, to classify it to be more than a hobby, and I really like what I do. I like the technical aspects of it. I like producing. I'd like to put more time into it.
I'd like you to
so
put
it's
any
not
time
the love
it,
for
yeah,
so it's not the love for the talk that I mean I really do love talk radio. I don't actually love it anymore as far as listening to it. It's weird. I think Chris and I are kind of on the same level on that a little bit too. It's, you know, listening is one thing, but actually producing it or creating is a whole nother level. So if you love listening to talk radio, I think everyone who listens to talk radio almost kind of wishes they can get into talk radio.
It's much better on the side
when there's a microphone.
Yeah, we talked about it. It was over on the Radio Bronze fans over on the Heroes Talk forum talking about the joke was going around how everyone who listens to Heroes Talk wants to have a Heroes Talk show at some point or another. It's part of it. It's part of the
allure.
Going into the culture of it.
Yeah. So no, man, I wish there's a happy medium to be able to to get back in. But to be honest, Best in Show seems like it's an all or nothing deal. Like, it doesn't seem, it's very hard to be a part-timer on a radio show, you know, like to kind of come in and come out, or, you know, as part-time as it gets. So I think Brian kind of pulled it off when, you know, if there was going to be two days a week, yeah, you can part-time it and do like one day of the two, but you're still there every week.
Man, do you remember Brian from Mondays? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that's hard to do as a producer, like to have to come in and constantly like rework someone else's producer's mess ups and stuff.
I was listening. You're proving right now that doing it once a week is a little bit difficult to do, isn't it?
I was listening back to a show a couple like that was done maybe a couple months ago, and we were talking about how great Brian Free Mondays was, and then Ken from New Jersey writes in and says, "What about a Brian Free Earth?" Which I thought was great.
It's funny. He should do a radio show. I would put him on Tuesday nights, like 9 o'clock on here.
Ken on the Hut.
Yeah, I think that'd be fantastic if he did that. Right on the Hut, we'd get him out there. I mean, it'd be a good idea. We should hook him up with Rob's friend Germ Freak. They should do something together. I would check that out.
Well, you know what? I was just checking out the DJ New Style show Tuesday night. That's Tuesday nights on HeroesTalk.com. And the last episode, Mr. DJ New Style Ken was saying how he's got a new place. He bought a home. Which, congratulations, Mr. New Style. And he was also stating that, well, hey, Frank, to Germ Freak, what do I have to do in my house to make it acceptable for you to broadcast from here? Because he would like for him to be at his house broadcasting. So maybe, just maybe, there's a little room for a Best in Show on Thursday.
So that's it.
Mr. New Style's out.
We're going to just try and convince Ken from New Jersey, our buddy DJ New Style, to actually just make his basement just become Heroes Talk Studios.
A radio station.
All right, done. It's, you know what?
Exactly.
It's got my seal of approval. So,
Rob, will you be our producer if that happens?
To be honest, it's a lot more intriguing because I work in Jersey and I can go right there. And
will you put that in writing, Chris?
It's official.
You
Best
know.
In Show next week from DJ New Style's house.
Yeah!
Perfect.
Actually,
with Rob back as our producer.
That's a damn good idea.
And actually, you know what? My mom just bought a house in Jersey, and we're not invited.
Oh.
But I thought I'd throw that out there.
Not for dinner? I can't come by?
As soon as she tells me where it is, then.
I was invited. You're not. It's like Fred's text. It's only certain people get it.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks again.
Awesome. Well, It's an interesting thought to think that maybe the concept of our buddy Rob Giggs returning to Best in Show in some capacity isn't absurdly far-fetched.
As long as they don't pay us, as long as we're not professionals,
right?
We're not,
minute the checks start coming in from New Style, we're in trouble.
Hey Rob, what if we moved into a trailer or like a shed in somebody's backyard? Would you do it?
Yeah, depending on where the trailer is.
It's in your backyard. Rob, we've parked a trailer in your backyard.
And what? actually, we've already moved that. It's in your basement.
It looked a lot nicer around the table in your basement. It's true. No, in all honesty, what if maybe there was some sort of plan of maybe doing something on Staten Island again? Is that something you'd consider?
Yeah, without a doubt. It was the whole thing here was the first thing was, like I said, the every week commitment that I had to bring to this household that couldn't happen anymore. And then from there was the time of, like, now, when really things are getting a lot better as far as my time. But if I can maybe, if I stepped in maybe three times out of the month, and maybe Brian stepped in for one of those in the producer check, as long as it's not a mandatory,
well, we're thinking
have
that
to
you,
open up the door.
We're thinking you and Brian would be a team. Producing teams.
Oh, I love that idea.
Like Brian and you would be a team that, you know, you don't have to do on-air type of stuff if you don't want to.
Rob could man the board and make sure everything is working.
Brian answers
and
phones.
And Brian could be the call screener. I love the idea. I think it's terrific.
How about Rob does all the work and Brian just shuts up? How about that?
Hey,
you said it, bro.
Any updates on your situation as far as location and maybe thoughts of moving off the rocks, Staten Island, or
you know what? Honestly,
let's just take this seriously for a second. For a guy that's producing on the fly without seeing what our sheets look like in front of us, this is pretty amazing that you've just run through three of our topics without us knowing about it.
Literally in a row, you've got through the order. And I was about to give you the rap sign too. I couldn't wait to do that. But
all right, guys, I'll hang up now, and you can talk amongst yourselves.
No, we're gonna respond. Literally, that was the topic that we were going into next. By all means.
So, yeah, thank you for asking, first of all. And the other day I talked about recently, and I want to say as little as possible, but I talked about that I took a test for a job that I really, really want. And I'll say this much. If Nathan's...
Is it overnights in Westchester by chance?
No. After having a radio job, this is easily the second job that I would love. I took a test, and I receive a letter in the mail saying, hey, we'd like to know your availability for a position that's opening up at this location. Would you be interested in it? So I'm not literally jumping up and down, but I almost was.
Is the position between second and third base in Flushing Meadows?
No, it's not. It's not. Okay, third most after okay. being on the Mets. So I'm reading this, and I'm like it's the most excitement that I've had by far in a very, very long time. And I'm excited, and I'm like...
Other than the engagement.
I check it out. Definitely other than the engagement. Yeah. The most excitement I've had since...
Happened recently is what I'm saying.
Since...
the decade?
I was thinking professionally, but thanks for taking me down that road.
No, that's...
But anyway, so
I'm... Keith.
So I'm looking
this,
at...
This test that you took, is it... Technically, then
I think he's trying to be a little secretive about what the test was. So, no question.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is, it's just you pretty much got an acknowledgement that you did well, or you have a potential to actually get something, an outcome of this.
Yeah, without it's not just like a jerk. I got a very high score, so I was asked to come back, and so. I'm looking at it and I'm excited, and it says must reply to this by December 30th. So I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. I have to make sure that I check off on this list by December 30th and mail it. Here's the problem.
What's the problem,
you
bro?
You sons of bitches. I'm pulling back the curtain. Nobody's going to have a response because nobody's paying attention.
No, I'm totally.
I have to mail this letter back by December 30th. And? So I'm like, all right. And then I'm like,
wait a minute.
Second.
It's January
2nd. And the mail carrier literally just handed this letter to us on January 2nd.
What's the postmark on the letter?
December 21st. Mailed from Brooklyn on December 21st.
You see, if this was just life in Freddie's view, you'd be fine.
You'd be able
to put that in.
Thank you.
I'm with him now.
I know the reason for this is because it reached Staten Island on December 22nd and sat in the worst postal service in the worst place on earth for 10 days. First of all, the idea of mailing something out on the 21st and wanting it back by the 30th in the busiest postal time of the year is a little silly to me, but... All that aside, I'm just like, you have to be kidding me. At this point, I'm just waiting for the lightning
to
strike.
Don't put it aside. Blame it on the people that offered you the job. That's whose fault this is, obviously.
It's not their fault.
Call them. You called them.
It's the fault of the Staten Island Post Office, easily, and anyone that has ever had anything to deal with Staten Island.
Answer Brian's question. That's the interesting.
They'll understand if you chase it down. Did you call these people and tell them what happened?
January 2nd was a Saturday, so I had a good 48 hours to think about this. Before I had a chance to do anything, because they're closed. I went to Brooklyn. I came to Brooklyn on Monday morning.
Should I bring my tools? You just walked in.
I showed up. I gave them the letter, and he's like, he looks at it, and he's like, "Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with
yes.
this."
Yes, awesome. There you go. See, well, you did.
Then points out the fact that it doesn't look like I'm going to get hired. There's a few people with higher scores than me.
Wop, 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 wah.
There's still a chance. That's why I'm not saying anything about it. And
but you know what? But Keith, those people that are probably in the same boat as you, right, as far as receiving the letter late towards a really short cutoff to get it back, and if they dealt with it in a bad manner with them, saying like, what are you ridiculous, and like, caught an attitude, then you're going to shine over it because you didn't, lose your cool and complain.
Wait. So Rob's silver lining of this is trying to convince you that the other people that applied for the job were rude in showing up for it. So don't worry, you'll be right in there.
Exactly.
No problem. Everything's going to work up. Everything's coming up roses for
you. The good thing is, like I said, I didn't want to go into it too much, but that's one of maybe 15 to 20 possible positions around the city that I could get in this. So the fact that I was told I got a high score was a good thing. So, but it was just the idea that, of course, it couldn't just go smoothly. Of course, I had to sit for 48 hours and wonder what the hell was going to happen. It's just, it's mind blowing. My mind was.
Oh, Keith, I got to talk to you about one other thing too. Remember, hired you. You know, kind of my job hired you back a few weeks back to do a job. And
the basement,
you know, you helped move.
No,
it was, you know, you helped move some items into a storage location. Well, today we moved them back out of that location, back to the main stay.
Something's missing.
Where it was just temporarily held there, and I kind of felt really bad that I couldn't call you back up and rehire you for today's job. I actually tried calling you. I don't think you saw a missed call yesterday, but you didn't get back to me. There may have been a glimpse of hope, but there was multiple things going on as far as trying to hunt people down to do the job. But
it's the post office again. Screwed you.
Thank you, Sprint, and the post office.
So basically, you almost had another job. Congratulations.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let you know about the almost job today that you could have maybe had today. But I keep you in mind.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's the most I could ask for.
And you're getting it. And you're apparently getting it. Awesome. Well, Bobby G, I got to be honest, it's very exciting to hear your voice on these Best in Show airwaves, and I hope to hear more of it soon as we try and figure things out as our program tries to move forward into the new decade that Keith loves so very much.
No, next year.
And it was great speaking with you fellas, and
we'll see you next Thursday.
I'm sure we will talk shortly.
Excellent, buddy.
We'll see you at New Styles House.
It will be at New Styles House next Thursday. Awesome. That's Bobby G here on Hear Us Talk in the new decade here. It's terrific. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, blah, 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 blah. What, you're not ready to go to a commercial?
No, of course not.
Oh, okay.
Well, look, screw a commercial. Do we have to go to commercial?
Yeah.
Nah, screw it. Listen, it's been the holidays, and I got a really good gift for my brother. He gave me a book of quotes. Like from like the history, just from history to like famous quotes like from JFK, do not what your country could do for you, but what you could do for your country, to like stupid quotes from like David Hasselhoff saying like dead kids is the last thing they want to see is me. Like he just gave me this book of quotes and it was amazing. I just loved
it. Was it like a calendar that had it or just it was a book?
It was just a book and it was just quotes of like who said the quotes, where they were, what year it was. And
specifically bad, good, or just anything?
Anything. It went from range from good to like ridiculous. Like
there's some Shaquille O'Neal bad ones that are very famous.
The Shaquille O'Neal one I remember is somebody asked, did you go see the Parthenon when you were in Greece? And he goes, I went to a lot of clubs that week.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, is this where? I'm sorry, I missed it. Where?
Well, my brother gave me a book of quotes for Christmas.
Because we used to play a game like this a long time ago. One of the first Best in Show game shows was Who Said That Stupid Quote?
Oh, that's right. You know what? I guess that's why I knew that.
They were all Jessica Simpson, I think.
Well, guess what? I read these book of quotes and I was like, wait a minute. People say this. I say, we're people. And then I say, wait a minute. Quotes?
I love your reasoning.
Then I say, wait a minute. Quotes? They're just words people say. I say, wait a minute. We say words.
By we, you mean Best in Show?
I mean Best in Show Radio says words all the time. I say, wait a minute. We say quotes. We do quotes.
I see an alarm going off in your head. You know what alarm that is?
Ding, ding, ding. What alarm?
It's the game show alarm.
Exactly. Who's the douche that said that? And now I went through past Best in Show Radio shows from show one to show whatever we're doing right now.
214. So quotes from this show?
Quotes
are actually in this game show?
Actually, quotes from this show won't be in.
Who said something about Rosie O'Donnell or something? Is that in there?
That would have been in there, though. That would have been in there. And then this game, I was like, wait a minute. We have callers, too. Callers call in. Oh. First round, caller. Who's the douche that said that?
We're gonna throw our callers under the bus?
Wait.
Son of a bitch.
So the first time, which douchey caller said this?
Yep.
Son of a bitch.
My mother is such a C word.
Okay, wait. Hold on.
Who said it? I'm going to give you three choices.
Are you asking each of us? Are you asking everybody? How's this working?
I'm going to ask you separately.
Chris, okay. I already know that answer, but okay.
Chris, this is your first one.
Okay.
My mother is such a C word. Who said it? Was it Angela, Deja, or Barb? Who said their mother is such a C word?
I think without question, it's going to have to be Angela. Dear God. Although for a second I thought, you know, see, Barb likes her mom. I'm definitely saying that it's going to be Angela.
How does it work? Can we steal it? Can we answer also?
No, it's just wrong. Wrong or right. Just wrong or right.
He just said it's just wrong. I guess I got it wrong.
So I get nothing for knowing the answer?
You get nothing for knowing the answer.
Well,
you were wrong,
go,
Chris. It was Deja.
I was going to say Deja.
Really? Deja actually said it about her mom when her mom got into a fight with a Dominican lady. And the Dominican lady cut in front of her at a supermarket. And Deja. And
how long ago was
the
this?
Mother was yelling at the woman, and Deja was like, "My mom is such a C word."
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. You know what? I don't want to. I'm going to say, Angela, never forget. I miss you.
You ready, Bri? The fact that he's effing someone who he met on World of Warcraft is an accomplishment, to put it mildly.
I know who it is. Do I get multiple choice?
Yes. Okay. Who said it? Migraine Boy. Sheepy or Pristine?
It was Mr. Pristine Speakers the Canadian guy that Vanessa was banging.
You were totally right, my friend. Give that man.
See, I thought it was Mike from Queens. I'm very confused. Very, very confused.
No, I'm sure it was
Pristine.
I thought
it was Ken from New Jersey when he was in Queens.
You ready, Keith?
Yes.
He just has this body you could look at and you're like, wow. Who said that line? Was it Chaz the Dazzler, Sheepy, or Monty?
Oh! I want to add a caveat to the end of the story because I know the premise in which it was said, which is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Who said it?
Can you read the quote again? I'm sorry to be a pain. But...
this is the quote, and I'm going to read it like it was said.
Okay.
He just has this body you could look at, and you're like, wow.
It's definitely, well, I don't want to say definitely, but I believe it's Monty.
Give that man a point.
It's Monty talking about Rich Ace Franklin and his Neapolitan shorts, an MMA fighter, and his sexy body. Love it.
You ready? You ready, Chris?
So that was the end of round one, or another question?
No. We're still doing callers.
We're still douchey callers. Awesome.
Let's go.
I love that we're blaming it on the people. Way to welcome people into the show, knowing that we're going to scrutinize what you say and make fun of you later.
By the way, 877-744-6405 if you want to call in.
I'm ready. Here's the quote. I'm going to name my kid Christopher Coltrane.
Don't even give me the multiple choice. It's our buddy Vito.
Give that man a point.
I should get 2 points for that. I thought he said that to me in life.
He didn't say that on the radio, though, did he?
Yes, he did. You ready? Ready, Bri?
I got to marinate in that one for a second. I'm sorry.
That stupid photograph will cost me half of everything I own. Was it? Zombie. My green boy. Or Jeff from The What Show?
Oh, it must be Jeff from The What Show.
Give that man a point. Of course, Jeff from The What Show. That stupid photograph where he fell asleep and some girl put something in his face. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Second round softballs. I better get one of those too.
Maybe one of these days that picture will resurface somehow.
You ready, Keith?
I'm ready.
Here's the quote. No thanks, I'm driving. Was it?
Is still a caller?
Was it?
Every bad sitcom ever.
Turk Broda, Chaz the Dazzler, or Vito? No thanks, I'm driving.
That was Turk Broda.
You were wrong. That was my brother when he talked to the he-male, she-male, and he drove her home. She asked for a kiss, and my brother said, no thanks, I'm driving.
The premise makes it good. Just the idea
it's
of
not nothing. Douchey at all. That's really funny, actually.
No, he's just saying that his brother's a douche.
Yes.
I think that's good.
You ready? Chris.
More callers.
Last one. No, I would never tattoo that on my body. First of all, I don't really believe in it. And second of all, I don't need a bunch of effing black people coming after me.
That's got to be Angela. That's got to be Angela.
And that was Angela when on our MySpace, she had a swastika tattooed or inked on her arm, and you asked, is that tattoo or ink on your arm? She goes, no, that's an ink. I would never put that on.
I got to be honest, man. The idea of talking about Angela, and I know to a lot of our listeners, this doesn't make any sense. Angela was some crazy girl who used to love Fred's old band that called into the show when Fred's old band was on one day.
The one show that's lost forever.
Right, exactly. But that one, but then she called a couple of times
after that.
A couple of years ago, and it's like so weird that she was, this is when we were doing the show on Sunday morning, she was like a semi-regular caller and friend of the show for like a month and a half straight, and that was it.
See, I would have guessed Angela, but there was only one F word in that statement, and I think she's up to like four or five
I quoted her. I quoted her. I went back and quoted her. Right. After round one, the scores are Keith 1, Chris 2, Brian 2.
How is that the end of round one? I got asked one more question than everybody else.
Yeah, you mistakenly asked him the Angela question.
That's how it goes, buddy.
I'm with you.
You
that's
ready?
Why your cover's on the paper. Your picture's on the cover of the paper.
Brian.
Is there theme music for this game show, you think, or no?
You want to put a little something on?
No.
Brian.
They're with the bits.
You ready? This is the all of our quotes now.
Okay.
All the answers will be either us four guys. You ready, Bri? You want to go jokes? We'll go jokes. Who said it?
That was Chris.
You got it.
Chris. It was a crushing defeat to me.
You ready, Keith?
I'm ready.
He's like the Italian Mussolini.
It's famous amongst the four of us. And it's not a multiple choice thing, right?
It's just us four now. All of the choices.
Oh, that was you.
You got it. That was about Chris and how he reacts to the show. He's like the Italian Mussolini. Chris, I have terrible problems with the number three.
Wait, what?
The quote is, I have terrible problems with the number three.
Oh, that's obviously Keith.
Give that man a point.
Keith. That was actually on the aforementioned night of a million podcasts.
Brian, you ready?
Forgettable experience.
Here's the quote. My mommy saw me on Facebook sucking face with a guy. My mommy saw me on Facebook sucking face with a guy.
I'm having a hard time believing I said the words mommy, but clearly that was me.
You actually said mommy, my friend. Jesus. You said mommy. Give that man a point. You ready, Keith?
Yes.
Now, let's do a show like we normally would. Who can I be mad at today?
That would be the Italian Mussolini.
You're absolutely correct. Give that man a point.
That was said on the air.
Yes, on the air. Chris, here's the quote. Who's the douche that said this? I have some level of intelligence, and I know how much better David Bowie is than Adam Ant.
I have some level of intelligence, and I know how much better David Bowie is than Adam Ant.
Direct quote.
I'm torn as to whether that's me or Brian.
who's the most egotistical prick between the two of us?
Some level of intelligence, I think is a way I would word something. I'll say it's me.
You were wrong. It was Keith.
Wow!
You avoided the obvious there.
You ready, Bri?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Who said this? I love tears. I love tears.
I don't know if that's me or Chris. It's got to be me or Chris. I'm going to go with Chris.
You were right. Give that man a point.
They're so hot. They're so hot.
Brian's in the lead 5, and Chris and Keith are tied with 3. Keith, who's the douche that said this? Keith's apartment looks like a poet lives there.
That was either Angela or you. I'll say you.
It's me. Chris.
Yes?
These are going to get a little harder now.
I hope.
Here we go. Who said this? I'm half Irish, and I never understood a lot of Irish things. Like, why is the obituaries the Irish entertainment section? I think it's funny, and I don't even know why.
What?
I'm half Irish, and I never understood a lot of Irish things. Like, why is the obituaries the Irish entertainment section? I think it's funny, but I don't know why.
Can Rob even be in this?
Rob's not in.
All right, okay.
That was very abrupt. Sorry, I got a little confused.
And I'm not paraphrasing. Like, I had to go back and listen to these a couple of times because I couldn't even comprehend what I was hearing.
I do.
It must have been Keith then.
I'm gonna guess it has to be Keith because I think he's, you know, half Irish. That's the hint.
You were right. Give that man a point.
I was going with the fact that you couldn't understand
Fred's
it.
Fred's next question: who said my last name's Chavo?
Bri, I think every good deed doesn't go unpunished, so I won't help anybody. I think every good deed doesn't go unpunished, so I won't help anybody.
That's Chris, right?
Nope, it was me, my friend. Drunken mess at the Labor Day show.
Wait, what happened? Wait, give me some context on that one.
It was at Sweet and Vicious, and we were talking about the subway, the guy that saved the chick on the subway, and we'd ask if you would do a good deed like that.
Oh, was that when I saw the guy fall on the ferry and didn't help him on the way?
Exactly. Right, exactly.
On a side note, after that whole thing was over, Alki came over to me and pulled me on the side and said, seriously, you would save a kid, right? Seriously. Like, all mad at me, like, pulled me over to the side and said, you would save a kid.
So, just for the record, I forgot to tell this, like, 2 days after that, I was in a pizzeria over by my house. Yes,
not
the one
saving
you
a kid.
And this woman, and I'm the deli next to it. I go in, and this woman comes up to me, and goes, "Please, sir, can I use your cell phone? I have to call Con Ed. My kids are at home, and they're gonna turn my power off." And I said to her, "No."
Yeah, exactly.
And she said, "Please," and I said, "Nah, I'm waiting for a job to call me." And she's like, "But it's 8 o'clock at night." And I was like, "All right, so they probably turned your power off anyway."
Nice. I thought you were gonna say I work nights.
I would have said, "No, I don't have any change." Just totally blatantly, just a no right in their face.
So come to me for help.
You ready, Keith? Mm-hmm. Who's the douche that said this? When I was outside holding court, as you were, I started going into this theory I came up with about Lars and the Real Girl. When I was outside holding court, as you were, I started going into this theory I came up with about Lars and the Real Girl. Who's the douche that
holding
said that?
Holding court is a Chris thing, but I don't think anyone here would have talked about Lars and the Real Girl besides maybe Brian, so I say Brian.
You're correct! Wow!
I'm sure I said as it were.
No, it's as you were.
What
as
do you,
you
can you
direct
were.
Quotes.
Can
these
you tell us what
quotes.
That even meant?
I don't know. I don't know if I should go into it right now.
It was on the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
I was talking about it after our most recent Labor Day party. I went out drinking and I got into a fight with my girlfriend about the secret meaning of Lars and the Real Girl. Publicly in open court while
it.
I was holding court.
Stop
by
right
the way.
There, I haven't seen it. No spoiler.
All right, Chris, who's the douche that said this? They only didn't take my picture and put it up. They took my moment. They took my happy moment that I had.
Oh, well, that's obviously you stupid.
You got it. You got it.
With the pictures.
You ready, Bri?
It was about the AWE section you were talking
about. Bri, who's the douche that said this? When I was young, I was big into the swastika.
That's gotta be Chris. That's gotta be Chris.
You were correct.
There is no, I don't think
give that man a point. We were talking about stuff we would like to like scribble on desks and things like that. Like somebody said the ZZ Top symbol, the Van Halen symbol. Chris is like the swastika. I was big in the swastika.
How did
and
that
pentagrams.
Float? How did that float? Was there any response to that, or was it just slack jawed, realistic? Yeah. Like
I
want to
be honest with
happened?
You. I want to be honest with you. Today, I still draw pentagrams everywhere I go. I love pentagrams.
But when I was younger, I was big into the swastika.
All right, Keith. Who said this? Do you know what would look good on you? My blood.
That was Brian.
Good. Give that man a point.
It's a pickup line. It's a big pickup line.
Yep.
Another pickup line, Chris.
Right, baby?
If I could change the alphabet, I'd put a gun to your face and make you have sex with me. If I could change the alphabet, I'd put a gun to your face and make you have sex with me. Who said that pickup line?
I want it to be me, but I think it's you, Fred.
It was you, man. It was
yeah,
you.
I am good.
All right, Bri, another pickup line. Why don't you go up to her and say, I know you probably spent a lot of time. I know you probably, I know you, nah, I'm no good.
Whoa, give that all one more time.
This is a pickup line. Why don't you go up to her and say, I know you probably spent a lot of time. I know you probably, I know you, nah, I'm no good.
All right.
That was a pickup. That was the attempt of a pickup line.
Wait, see, I want to understand something here. Was the person fumbling over themselves
trying?
Now, wait,
that ruins it.
Okay.
That kind of ruins it. And because I have one of two choices. If that is legitimately the person stumbling and fumbling over it on the air, that was probably Rob. But if it was the person...
It's only us four. It's only us four.
Oh, okay, well, then it's Keith.
That you're absolutely correct.
And he was doing it intentionally.
He wasn't doing it intentionally.
No. I was trying to come up... I was trying to come up with a pickup line, so I said, why don't you just go up to her? And the thought escaped my head, so that I stumbled, as I probably would if I was trying to pick up a girl at a bar at any point in my life, and I just said, forget it.
Chris, who's the douche that said this?
I suck. What did you say? I'm not good enough.
Sorry, sweetie, I'm no good.
Perfect.
Chris, it was nice being on the boardwalk playing skeet ball.
Okay. If you try and bastardize this and say that I said skeetball, I'm going to kill you because I've never said skeetball in my mother effing life. It was nice being on the boardwalk playing skeetball. I'm going to assume. I can't remember if Brian was the one who. Yeah, it's got to be Brian.
You're wrong. It was me, my man.
Oh, it was you. Damn it.
Brian.
Because I call it skeetball.
That's what he said.
Oh, all right. I see.
Brian. Yes, I had a blutini. It was the most delicious thing I've ever had.
It's Keith.
He's talking about Outback.
Keith is the only person in the world who would say those words, I'm pretty sure.
And it was at Outback Steakhouse, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. As a matter of fact, the other day, my girlfriend went to Outback.
You got a pink teeny this time?
And she was talking about the price of a Corona, how ridiculous it was. And I just turned around and I was like, you didn't get a blue martini? A blue teeny?
You ready, Keith? Who's the douche that said this? If I'm leaving my house, I'm wearing underwear. No, wait. That's not true.
Yeah, that had to be Chris.
No, it was Brian.
It's Brian.
It was totally me.
Wow.
What are you talking about? I always wear underwear like a gentleman.
All right, Chris. This is one of my favorites.
Just nothing else.
Here's a quote. Aren't pestos tomatoes?
Aren't pestos tomatoes? I know that Brian didn't know what pestos were, but I didn't think what pestos were as if they're a thing. But I didn't think that he was the one who said tomatoes. I don't know if that's someone making fun of him or him saying it himself. I'm going to hope that it's Brian himself.
You were correct, my friend. Brian did think pestos were tomatoes.
I am an ignorant bastard.
No, well, come on. And my favorite part about that whole thing was so matter of fact, like, well, obviously, pestos, I mean, you take pestos to make pesto sauce.
Making fun of you for actually formulating pesto because I just thought you picked it off a pesto tree and, like, right. Squeezed it into a jar or something.
What an idiot you are for talking about how to make pesto, you dummies. Oh, wait.
I'm a douche.
All right, Bri. Who said this? I teared up during A League of Their Own. I teared up. During A League of Their Own.
Is my question or whose question?
That's, Brian. That's probably me.
You?
Yeah.
You're another fan. It was Keith. It was Keith.
I totally bawled at A League of Their Own.
And for the record, if we want to go back in time now, if I said teared up, I literally cried at the end of A League of Their Own.
Bawled is what you meant to say.
I wasn't hysterical, but I was definitely crying.
Ready, Keith?
Fold me.
Here's who said this, Keith? Who's Carl Castle? Did he really make a castle?
Nugget? What? Was that Nugget?
No.
No.
Who's Carl Castle? Did he really make a castle?
That was you.
That was me. Talking about an interview that we were going to get with Carl Castle. I had no idea who he was.
This is the best wrap-up of the decade ever.
All right, Chris. Who's the douche that said this? You could taste the can in this dog food.
Oh, obviously. Obviously, that's got to be Brian, the only man who loved to eat dog food. He said it was his favorite thing ever here on Best in Show.
Pretty sure I didn't say that.
All right, Bri. Who's the douche that said this? I have so much respect for Vanessa that I will not say on the air that I would love to see her eat another girl's ass. I would never say that. It's disrespectful.
That's clearly Chris.
And they said that on the air.
Chris.
Give that man a silver dollar.
That's weird. I was thinking about Vanessa eating a girl's ass today. It's odd.
All right.
That was a response to you asking her if she would.
For the record, I did not say that on the show. I think I said that on an after show.
No way.
It was after show.
It was a bad
hour
after
three
show.
Yeah, was it Blutini? Blutini days.
Do you remember what you said? Do you remember? Can you quote it back?
No.
Keith, who's the douche that said this? You have to save the AIDS babies. If you spend them all, you'd be screwed.
If you spend them all?
You would be screwed. You have to save the AIDS babies. If you spend them all, you'd be screwed.
I'm going to say Chris was drunk and said that.
That's got to be a Brian. That's got to be a Brian.
You're both wrong. It was Keith.
Wow.
How does I don't even understand
I don't
that.
Even understand what I was talking about.
Someone, he was making a joke. I think that's a funny line.
But how do you spend a baby? I don't get
that's
it.
That's the point. You say you got to save them. No, you save them, though, because otherwise you'll spend it. It's even like being witty.
I'd like to change my answer and say I'm pretty funny.
By the way, I just want to point out that Steve the LARPer and EarthHog56 in the chat room are talking about how eating ass is somehow a euphemism that I've... Oh, sorry, it's a chrisism.
I
love that.
Yes, it is.
Eating ass. I love it.
All right. Chris, who's the douche that said this? I think it hurt my I'm sorry. I think it hurt because my hole there is a little smaller than the other one. You know what I mean. I'm talking about my ass. Let me repeat that. I think it hurt because my hole there is a little smaller than the other one. You know what I mean. I'm talking about my ass.
I could only assume... I'm going to assume it's me. I'm going to guess.
Before you give that answer, let me just respond. It went something like this.
Let me respond.
I think it hurts because the hole there is a little smaller than the one in back. You guys know what I mean, right? You know what I mean? I'm talking about my ass. That was a conversation that we were having, and I was saying that about
you
a
were quoting someone else. You were quoting someone else. Now I totally understand.
Oh, man. That's a cheap shot, Fred.
You had me convinced I was talking about the difference between my bunghole and my wee-wee hole. That's why I went that way. My wee-wee hole. This is the conversations I have.
You ready, Bri? Who's the deuce who said this? Mm. The Rolling Stones were very cocky. They're like the Guns N' Roses of the 60s. The Rolling Stones were very cocky. They were like the Guns N' Roses of the 60s.
Wow. Fred, was that you?
You are correct, my friend. That was during the Radio Olympics when
offering some brilliant insight, as a matter of fact. I think that's genuine.
I'm blown away that you had to remember that one. That was like... that was a knee slapper for a while.
For the record, I have no idea how this is translating on the air, but this is maybe the 10 most fun minutes I've ever had of the show. I love these. I love these.
It's probably a little inside. But
game shows are for us anyway.
It's for him.
You ready, Keith? Who's the deuce who said this? My wife would be sadder if the cats died than if I died.
By default, that had to be me.
You were wrong. It was me, my friend.
I was going to say, Fred, yeah.
All right, Chris. It's hard to figure out.
Okay, Fred.
It's hard to figure out what the hell's going to happen to me when I die. It's hard to figure out what the hell's going to happen to me when I die. Who's the douche that said that?
I'm gonna say Fred.
You're wrong. It was Brian when we were asking him if he would get a grave. I asked him, Brian, are you going to get a grave?
I was thinking afterlife.
He got us
a tricky little bastard, isn't he?
Yeah, you see, I want to judge these douches at face value. All this hornswoggling.
You ready, Bri? Who's the douche that said this? My girl is mad at me because I had to cancel Valentine's Day. My girl is mad at me.
I think I did that. That was me.
Correct. Yeah. We all told Brian that we were going to have a meeting on Valentine's Day, but we never wound up calling each other. Brian was the only person that waited.
We were going to go out to dinner and everything. That was bad.
You were going to get people to dance for you. Do you remember? You were going to get people to do the
lambada
for you
friends of ours invited to his little, not the lambada. It was like, yeah, whatever.
You said the forbidden dance. You were looking to get forbidden dancers for the holiday.
It was a special night out. It was at a special place. It was going to be so special, and you ruined it for me. Thank you.
All right, Keith.
It's my wife's birthday. I can't go out that day.
Who's the douche who said this? Is it that you only like my wife when it's you and a picture of her alone in the bathroom?
That was probably me.
You're correct. Wow, give that man a point.
What was that?
I guess it was to you, Chris, that you only liked Keith's wife when it was you and a picture of her in the bathroom because you had masturbated to the thought of her.
But who haven't I masturbated to the thought of? Let's be honest.
All right, Chris. Well, leading is, right now, is Keith with 10, Chris with 7, Brian with 9.
Wow, so I'm losing. I'm dead last. See, I'm terrible at this. I don't have a very good memory, I guess.
You ready, Chris?
I enjoy these, though.
I thought girls peed out of their butts till I was 15.
That's definitely you, Fred.
You're correct.
Dummy. You stupid dummy.
Did you really think that?
I really did, man. I swear, I really did. I really did.
Wow.
I wasn't. I would. Yeah, and then you wonder why I'm so not open sexually.
I would love to have a girl pee out of her butt.
You don't want butt liquid on you.
It's because the hole back there is larger than the wooden.
Brian, who's the douche that said this? When I send you an instant message, isn't that just you?
What? All right, I'm going to have to say Chris. I'm going to have to say Chris.
No, complaining about Keith. It was Keith.
I now remember saying that.
I got give me the context. I
got
to hear that.
I got news for you. When we did the stupid gimmick of Keith quitting the show because he had to work that day, and we did the thing the following week, like, that was one of the quotes that we were playing on the air. It's like, oh, remember when with Keith, like, him saying that somehow had any sort of bearing. I'm pretty sure I had that on
it was, like, from the first show, I think. I don't know what we were talking about, but...
No clue.
Whatever, yeah.
You ready, Keith?
It was good, though.
Who's the douche who said this? I have unbelievable tons of moments where I feel like I'm an island.
I feel like you're trying to trick me because that's such a Brian thing. It's Brian or Chris. I'm going to say you.
Yeah, me? I think it's fair, too.
It was Chris.
It was Chris. Those are the exact words, the way that you assemble it. That's only the way Chris speaks. Unbelievable. Can't you just hear him
say that?
He
looks so sad right now thinking of it.
It's true, though.
You ready, Chris? Who's the douche who said this? So it was gay, bestiality, centaur, or minotaur griffin sex. So it was gay, bestiality, centaur, or minotaur griffin sex.
I know what we're talking about. I just don't know who said it. It's a reference to one of my wet dreams. I could only guess that it was me because it was my wet dream.
Give that man a point.
Okay. Nice.
When it turned into the, what was it? A snickerdoodle? What was the dog that it turned into?
No, my Rhodesian Ridgeback. Oh, no, my.
Your Rhodesian Ridgeback. Keep the saying.
That's
the
right.
Show.
Yeah, my sex partner in a dream turned into my dog. What are you going to do? These things happen.
All right, Bri. I do eat cheese, but then I think, like, of a guy jerking a cow. And that's how I got this? Ugh. I do eat cheese, but then I think of, like, a guy jerking a cow, and that's how I got this? Ugh.
I remember this.
Okay, I gotta say Fred.
Of course it was Fred.
Well, I can see both of you guys saying the same thing when you were on your vegan trip.
That reeks of Fred.
Yeah.
Jerking a cow. The whole
you complained about that all the time, like Dairy's masturbation or Dairy's rape is what you're talking about.
Well, Dairy is rape. That's 100% true. But no, the whole conversation went to the fact that he actually likened it to really being he thinks pee comes out of girls' butts. He thinks that cow cum is cheese.
You wonder why his wife loves the cats more.
All right, Keith. Ready? Last round.
Entropy says it. Cheese isn't cow sperm, you tool.
Oh, it so is. Ready, guys? Last round.
It so is.
2-point questions. Whoever wins this wins the round. It's 10 apiece. 2-point questions. Keith, who's the douche that said this? It's gotten to the point where I'm jealous of the people that are losing their jobs. It's gotten to the point where I'm jealous of the people that are
that
losing
was definitely.
This is a speed round. Any of us can do it, or
it's 2 points. This is 2-point round. Okay, last round.
Ironically, that was me complaining when I hated my job before I actually lost it.
Give that man 2 points. It sure was.
And a job, please. Give that.
Can
man
I get a
job.
Check? Yeah, with those 2 points. Where can I cash those in?
That's some interesting foreboding thingamadads.
It just got real. Fred just got real.
You ready? Chris, 2-point question. Who's the douche that said this? You know you have... Oh, I'm sorry. You know how you have that friend of yours that when you're forced into a situation, it's a little awkward? I'm that guy for pretty much everybody.
I'm going to guess that's Brian.
Give that man 2 points. Yeah. Wow.
Really?
Absolutely.
I thought that was him.
Brian was saying it.
No, I think everyone loves me, even though they don't. I have too inflated of an ego to think
that
I'm the
weird
one.
But you embarrass more friends than probably Brian ever could.
Oh, no. I know I make everyone awkward. Everyone I'm
that's
around.
That's drunken
know,
Brian is
even
rough.
Sober Brian is hard to be around.
Ready, Bri? 2-point question. Can I say with absolute certainty that there isn't a God? Of course not. In the same way that I can't say with absolute certainty that the grass is green.
That's me.
That's me, but someday Chris will come around.
Chris?
Yeah.
I got news for you, dude. Total side note. Richard Dawkins' book, he admits to being an agnostic, not really being an atheist. Just so you know.
All right.
And you are, too.
Is that why he hosted Family Feud?
Yes.
All right, ready? Person who yells out the name of this person that said this quote wins. Who's the douche that said this? People said I used to have girl parts when I was in grammar school. That one hit closest to home.
Fred.
Keith got it.
Oh, come on. I got it.
That one hit closest to home.
Keith got it. Keith.
Horse crap.
The winner of Who's the Douche That Said That? 2010.
So what do they have to do now?
Anal. All anal all the time.
No, bed.
With cow cum.
Swap, man. You guys should swap.
Awesome. I wish we had Fred rapping like he had at the beginning of the show. Why don't you spit? Yo, yo, yo.
Don't spit in my house, come please. On. It's my kitchen.
He pees in kitchens.
Oh, come on, boys.
Hey. This has been Best in Show's triumphant return to the radio after the holiday break. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and being part of this piece of garbage that we do. Special thanks to, was it Johnny or James T. Esquire?
Paulie Esquire.
Oh, Paulie Esquire, your lawyer. Special thanks to our buddy Walter Sobchak, Jimmy J.J. Walker, and our friend Rob Giggs. And thanks to all of you for listening, checking out this thing that we do. Guys, seriously, if you like the internet, if you like ICU2, ICU2.com, that's the number 2. Check it out. Anything else we got to say?
Next year, the millennium.
Next year, the millennium.
Life.
Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. 88. Peace. Watch show tomorrow night here on Your Song. Son.
Can't you feel the pressure drop? Can't you see the pressure's off? Heaven's here in front of me. I can't breathe and I can't speak. Maybe I never realized. As the days and nights roll on, I'll pray for these moments since the day I was born.
Guys, seriously, very special thanks to Steve LaLarpa. Very special thanks to Keith for honestly. They're just calling for the chat room, so I'm giving it to them.
I want to say a long do hello to Entropy.
Honestly.
I missed him. I'm going to go cry in the corner.
You still do. Thank God that you don't use the computer anymore. You don't know that he's here. But I'm glad he is too. Yeah, special thanks to Fred's pipe that's getting used right now. Right now. He doesn't even have the patience to walk away anymore. He just smokes right at the table.
That's the song.
Seriously, Brian, special thanks to you for hanging out. Special thanks to you for keeping your mic off most of the night.
Thanks to the off. Setting all that pants.
Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Bailey, thanks.
Philip Bailey.
Thanks to Wahoo and Skiffle for getting together and making crazy.
Hate being famous.
And thanks to Fred's student for the hell he's going to put him through tomorrow.
I like thank you.
My special ed bro. Big shout out. Lose some weight.
Thanks to my voice, which I can't get enough of.
Brian, you want to thank anybody? You just want to shut those buttons off so bad.
I really do. I want to be done with this.
Thanks to swinging.
I want us to keep going right to the end of the music and totally F you up.
Can I thank the Lightning Seeds for giving us something to talk over?
Absolutely.
1989, the beginning of the decade.
I want to thank, what's that guy's name? Percy
Farrell
in the Olympians?
From James Byron.
Zarathustra.
Percy somebody in the Olympians and the Lightning Thieves. You know what I'm talking about, right? Percy something in
when
the Olympians.
When a man loves a woman, like you were singing earlier.
Percy Sledge. I want to thank Percy Sledge.
I'm writing this.
For being an Olympian.
I want to thank Sister Sledge.
I'm writing this conversation down for the next Who's the Douche That Said That?
Yo, thanks to my boy Dion for hanging out with us tonight. What?
Thanks. Thanks.
Guys, seriously, you're welcome.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.